Spell.
The spell?
What? The old people's from the movie.
But what do you mean the spell?
Wasn't it a spell? Curse? What? I thought it was a...
What are you talking about?
Wasn't it a spell? Right?
Right what?
In
a spell from what?
In the movie.
In the... Oh, this movie?
Yes.
I mean, yeah. It was a... But what did that happen?
Because you were talking like an old person.
Yeah, because you were acting like an old person.
Was I?
No, I'm just making fun of you.
Okay, that's fine. See?
I had to leave like halfway through the movie yesterday, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was off of my mind for most of the day. But now it's got to be back on my mind because we're recording today.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Welcome back to Mingle Movie Madness.
I wonder if we should start the episode.
I wonder.
With you saying you left halfway through the movie, so like.
I mean, I've seen it before. I've seen it maybe like four times.
Gotta boost those numbers.
We watch a lot of movies. When do I have time to just sit
watch
down and
other
continuously
movies.
Watch yeah. Hell's Moving Castle over and over again? Which, by the way, is the movie we watched, Hell's Moving Castle.
From master filmmaker Hayao Miyazaki, the director of the Academy Award-winning Spirited Away.
That is ancient sorcery. Quite powerful, too.
This summer, experience the epic tale of a young woman transformed by a mysterious curse.
That's really me, isn't it?
An enchanted moving castle.
This is a magic house.
And the one wizard powerful enough to set her free.
This charm will guarantee your safe return.
Walt Disney Studios presents a Studio Ghibli production of a Hayao Miyazaki film.
Hold on.
This June, journey to amazing new worlds. Aboard Howl's Moving Castle.
This is Month of Miyazaki Week 2, during what should be the week
what
that the last
be?
Episode comes out.
Yeah.
But fuck it.
Fuck it, we make our own rules.
Yeah, the episodes have been coming out in a piss poor release window, and that's my fault. But
no, it's both of our fault.
It's both of our faults. We have a consistent day now, so we'll be back. Probably on a consistent release day again. Disregard literally anything I post.
I honestly think that our problem is we both wait for the other person to text saying that we're like available to record, but we never text each other.
When did I text you? Was it Friday or Saturday?
I think Saturday.
Is it yesterday?
Yeah.
I didn't text you because I wasn't.
Because you weren't
available. Yeah. And when I was, I knew you were working. Because
okay.
It was nights.
Yeah.
So I was like done at 5. I was like, oh, he's going into work. I'm getting out of work. So
work is lovely.
We are, we know what we're doing now.
We know what we're doing now. We don't know what we're doing. We know what we're doing.
We know.
The fuck was that?
Turn into the emperor.
The emperor.
We know. So this is, the first, this is the first post-millennium Miyazaki film that we've done, and we will stay post-millennium for the rest of the month because we will do Wind Rises and Spirited Away. Both came out after 2000. And I think there is a little bit of maybe a difference in, again, I've seen three Ghibli films, but there is a significant change in tone. And I think that might be attributed to, again, I'm not a professional here, but like he's grown up, there's more adult. Obviously, he's 69 years old, I think. I think he turned
on
the 7th.
This came out in 2004. Yeah, 2004.
Yeah. So he's in his 50s, so obviously he's older. But there's a lot more adult-oriented theming and plot devices, I think, in this. Like Princess Mononoke, which came out in, I think, 99 or 98.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the stuff that came out around this time, like Spirited Away, they all had very like emotionally like powerful themes, whereas stuff from the early 90s, late 80s that he did, like
specifically
Totoro,
emotionally powerful themes about women.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all about
very
women.
Very powerful women lead characters.
Nausicaa, Kiki's, Totoro, this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they are all. I never even thought about that. They're all. Yeah, because if it's not a woman, then it's a pig. It's just is Porco Rosso the only one without a female lead? Is Porco Rosso even the lead of his own movie?
I mean, I guess
I know there's
a
female counterpart.
I guess if you take Ponyo and if you say Ponyo is the lead of that, even though like the lead is like kind of the girl that hangs out with Ponyo. Even though I don't know if is Ponyo, I don't remember if Ponyo is a boy or a girl in that movie.
It's a Ponyo.
Yeah, he's a Ponyo.
He's a Ponyo. Ponyo is Ponyo.
But I mean, yeah, 99% of his movies have female lead characters.
Which is a good thing, I think. Like that, I didn't pick up on that. Cool, good. We have achieved equality because I didn't know or care.
Hayao Miyazaki has achieved equality for all of us.
That's it, boys.
All we have to do is just get the entire world to sit down and
watch
his
inequality
movies.
Is over. We solved it.
But it is a very like powerful sentiment in these movies to have these female lead characters. And I think that a lot of it, well, I mean, a lot of his movies are based off of books, too. So this one's based off of a Diana Wynne Jones novel.
Yeah.
Or I guess on the book, she's called Diana Wynne Jonesu, I guess.
Yeah, it's her.
Writing alias.
Well, no, I think it's her name pronounced in Japanese.
Oh, okay.
Diana.
That makes sense.
Diana Winjonsu. Something like that. So Howl's Moving Castle was released in 2004. Of course, this was directed by Hayao Miyazaki, based off of the book by Diana Wynne Jones. And there is a lot of the same producers and people behind this movie and probably the next couple movies.
And even though the movie is based off of the Diana Wynne Jones book, Hayao Miyazaki did do the screenplay for the movie.
Moving forward with this month, and really any month that's themed towards maybe one particular person or studio or what have you, we will talk very little about people we've already mentioned, like Miyazaki or Joe Hisaishi for our soundtrack. If you do want to hear the full version of that, go listen to our episode on Totoro. Watch all the Miyazaki films. That's the point of the month.
Yeah, it's basically just rehashing the same information over the four episodes in the same month. So
yeah, so we'll talk about a little bit about some of the people we've mentioned prior, but we'll talk about some new people as well. So let's talk about our folks behind the scenes.
All right, here we go.
And rolling sound. Quiet.
Here we go. Ready?
Speeding.
126.7.
Ready? And starting right on the lens. Ready? Okay. And action.
Director Hayao Miyazaki. What haven't we said?
What?
What haven't we said about Miyazaki yet?
Man. I don't know. I guess
Space Adventure Cobra.
We hadn't talked previously about the fact that he had all female lead characters, but
yeah.
If you haven't listened to any of our previous episodes, Hayao Miyazaki is a very, very important, well, one of the most important filmmakers of our generation, of any, I guess any generation, considering animation itself hasn't even been around for that long. He has been accredited to numerous amazing and award-winning anime movies and short films. Big ones in America, like this one that we watched, Howl's Moving Castle, Spirited Away, Ponyo, Princess Mononoke, just many movies that have been accredited across the world as just amazing animation, or I guess feats of animation, really. Beautiful scenery, beautiful stories. So if you haven't watched any of them, go check them out. If you're listening to this without any prior information about the man, shame on you. Go watch these beautiful works of art. Shame on you. Go get on out of here. On to the next.
He also did the screenplay for this movie, Diana Wynne Jones, the book was based off of. And there was something for Totoro, right? It's been a while since we did Totoro, but Totoro was based off of someone else's thing, was it not?
I think so.
Diana Wynne Jones was born in 1934 in London and died in Bristol in 2011. She wrote the novel Howl's Moving Castle, and she also wrote the book Archer's Goon, which inspired the TV series in 92.
Oh, cool.
The 92 TV series. I don't know when the book was written. But yeah, that's all that she has. Our producers, so we have Rick Dempsey, who was kind of managing the Disney end of things. Toshio Suzuki was a producer. Ned Lott was a producer. John Lasseter was an executive producer. The assistant producer, Tomohiko Ishii. So that's all we got.
Well, yeah.
It's very small, but that's probably how the rest of the month will be, because you'll see when you focus on a certain person behind the scenes, they kind of recruit a lot of the same people.
Yeah, very close-knit casting, especially when it comes to projects such as like animations. I feel like a lot of animation studios like work with the same people over and over again, especially when it comes to probably voice acting. And I mean, in Japan as well, because a lot of voice actors, it's very hard to get into the voice acting business in Japan, and a lot of them do like a lot of different voices for a ton of different shows and movies and such.
Mm-hmm. So we'll move on from
it's
this.
It's kind of like, who's that guy here that did Nathan Drake?
Nolan North.
Yeah, Nolan North. Nolan North, like, voices everybody in American
Yeah,
video
who's
games.
The other guy? It's Nolan North and...
yeah, there's one other guy.
What the hell is his name? He was Booker in Bioshock. Bioshock.
That was also Nolan North.
No, I think that was the other, Troy Baker.
Maybe? Yeah, that was Troy Baker.
They're just the monopoly on video game, but unfortunately they're the monopoly on like a generic like white 30 something that's like, aha, how could I have gotten this situation?
Yeah, you know what I mean? What you have come to expect to hear in a video game,
like action hero Steve Gutenberg.
Yeah, it's very, you know, like Call of Duty, like, you know, AC-130.
They're all names are like Jack Ryder, but Ryder's like R-Y-D-E-R, you know what I mean? Two first names, dude. And those games are good.
Don't make fun of those games.
No, those games are good.
Those games are amazing.
But like...
haven't you only even played like partway through the first one?
Yeah. But I know, I'm excited because I know what's coming up is good and significantly better.
You're never going to get to those games.
I will get to those games. I just need to finish Sniper Elite.
How long have you been playing Sniper Elite?
Oh, I don't know. I'm playing it now and I'm doing...
Sniper Elite?
V2.
Okay.
Which means... I still have 3 and 4. I know.
Are you doing like you have to play like all of them in order? And then
I like
move
to
on
do
to the
that.
Next series.
Yeah. No. I just like playing the games. I beat Jack 1.
Oh, okay. So you're not saying like you're gonna play through all of the Sniper Elite games?
No, because
to...
I don't own all
Jesus
the Sniper
Christ.
Elite. No, I wouldn't do that.
I heard Sniper Elite 4 is pretty fun though.
They're all really good. That and the what's the other one? Ghost Warrior, Sniper Ghost Warrior.
Yeah.
Which also has I think 3 games. Those are all fun, and that game is really satisfying.
I mean, I understand.
In a kind of morbid way, because it's like, oh yeah, I can see the bullet pierce through his eye, and it comes out.
Yeah. Like, I've been replaying all the Zelda games.
I haven't, on the 3DS?
No.
Like the remaster? Oh, okay.
I haven't played the first one or the second one, just because they are, like, top-down scrollers.
You're not Zelda 2.
Oh no, Zelda 2 is a side to side scroll.
Side to side. That one's hard.
Yeah, but I mean, games.
That one,
had
I
to
love
be
that.
Hard.
I actually really like that one. I know people don't like that. You haven't played Link to the Past?
No. I'm playing Majora's Mask right now and Ocarina of Time. And then I'm going to play. I have the other ones, so I'm going to play those eventually. I just haven't gotten to them yet.
You're doing all the 3D?
Yeah, because it doesn't really matter. For Zelda, really, in terms of like chronological order and which way you play them.
No one knows the timeline.
The first two games are connected because it's Zelda 1.
Yeah, but
Zelda
then
it,
there's a bunch of, like one there's one event in one game that splits off like the young Link and adult Link, and then even those kind of have forking.
Yeah, yeah. I think areas. Adult
It's if Ganon wins or Ganon loses in one version of Zelda, in one Zelda game.
I think Twilight Princess is where he's like adult Link, or at least teen Link.
He's Wolf Link.
Yeah. We're getting off track.
All right. Where are we? Casting! My God. Apologies for butchering these names. I don't speak Japanese, if you can't tell, but I'm going to give this a shot from all of the names that I'm at least familiar with. Chieko? Baisho. Because
Baisho? Baisho?
Baisho or Baisho. I'm going to say it's Baisho. Plays Sophie. And like we did with Totoro, we will primarily be talking about our Japanese cast, and then we will also name our English equivalent.
Yeah, and I guess there's different names also for the main characters, well, for all the characters in the Japanese version of the movie versus the American version. Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll name those as well.
We go all the way back to 1961 with her. She was in Kumoga Chigiru Toki, which was her first, I'm going to assume, a feature film role, but we don't know what she's credited as here. And I've noticed in a lot of these Japanese castings, we don't know the names of the characters they play, or if they're uncredited or not. Because sometimes when we see someone's uncredited, we know because they list it. But
I mean, I haven't watched
a
lot
of
like Japanese like regular like live action TV or movies or what have you. Besides, well, I know I've seen quite a few, I guess, live action movies. I've watched a lot of Japanese horror, but
Tokyo Gore Police.
Most, I mean, even minor characters have names.
I will say these ones because they're all in English, but she also starred or played a role in Our Marriage, Glory on the Summit, Get Married, Mother, Ballad of a Worker, Sing Young People, The Sunshine Girl, The Night We Danced, Our Happiness Alone. These were all in the early 60s. These were within the first 3 years. She was getting a lot of work.
It does seem,
in the first 10 years, she has so many. Actually, really, the first 20 years of her career.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is a like movie series, but it seems like a lot of her work throughout the 70s is something that it starts with the word Torosan's, like a bunch of... It's Torosan's Runaway, Torosan's Grand Scheme, Torosan's His Tender Love, His Torosan's Cherished Mother.
Torosan's like the No David.
And she plays the same character in every single one, yep. Torajiro's sister.
Yeah, so...
it seems like a, I don't know, a series that she was, or of movies that she was in during the 70s.
Torasan and the Atoko wa Surayo series, which I guess
and
is also a spinoff of Torasan because it's she plays the same character, Sakura Sua.
Dang, this is a long-running movie series. This goes through the 70s, the 80s, the 90s.
Yeah, and then 2019, the latest thing she done is Torasan Wish
Dang,
You Were Here,
girl.
Where apparently Torasan dies.
Oh, man. Can you imagine? Oh, man. I can't. I mean, we don't live in a country that has, I mean, besides, like, 007.
Yeah.
We don't have long-running movie series.
No. Well, yeah, because they have Godzilla. Well, not really Godzilla now, but, like, Ultraman still, I think, goes on. There's, like, a billion different Ultraman series.
The 50th film, man, to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the series. There's not even 50, like, 007 movies.
No, not at all. In 1986, she played Miyoko Yamakawa in Women Who Do Not Divorce. In 1988, she was in Torosan's Salad Day Memorial.
Very, very open about how they feel about marriage.
Yeah. Let's Women Who Do Not Divorce because the men tell them no.
Women who are in kitchen are happy. Women who do not divorce are happy.
It's Boomer Comics.
Women who don't have a job are very happy.
Technology bad, wife bad, beer good, lazy.
Good.
Good. Old thing good, new thing bad. Most recently, that people are going to actually be familiar with, she is the voice of Tomy in Weathering With You, which just came out last week. This is the new film by the dude who did Your Name.
The dude who did Your Name?
Your Name. Yeah, there's a movie. It's the director's name. So Your Name was really, really popular because it was like the first big anime film that wasn't like a Miyazaki film.
Oh, okay. I thought you said
Makoto Shinkai.
Was it 2 years ago that came out?
I think 2 or 3.
Or at least when it came out in America.
Yeah, and this is the next movie, which is about a dude and a girl. The girl controls the weather, something like that. I haven't seen it, but she's in that. I assume Tomi is maybe the girl, but I don't know because the fact that she was born in 1941, I honestly don't know. I don't know because the voice of Goku is like 96 years old.
She died.
The skeleton of the voice of Goku. But that is Chieko. So she has found a way to keep herself employed.
Nice.
Very much so.
Very hardworking woman.
Yeah.
Good for her.
In America, the voice of a young Sophie is played by Emily Mortimer. The voice of Grandma Sophie is played by Gene Simmons. J-E-A-N Simmons. Not the dude from Kiss.
Why did that sound so stressed?
Because I hiccuped in the middle and I tried to hold it back and it caused J-E-A-N. Immense pain. Takuya Kimura plays Howl or Haru.
Haru.
Kimura started in 1990 in a TV movie called About Her Brother, and he is most known for Space Battleship Yamato.
Well, more recently.
I don't know. That just looks cool.
Cover. He's probably well known for playing Manji in Blade of the Immortal, which was the 100th movie of, I'm trying to remember the director.
Dude directed 100 movies?
Takashi Miike. Yeah, he's the one that did 13 Assassins. I love that movie.
He was also in a movie called Love and Honor, which I think is also about samurai, and 2046, which I don't know what it's about.
I haven't seen Blade of the Immortal. I need to. It looks like a really cool premise.
Looks cool.
I think it's based off of a manga.
He was in a TV series in 06 called Journey to the West, and pretty much everything he's done, he's a lot of TV miniseries, TV movies, and just general TV.
2020, so this year he has come out with a TV movie where he is playing, or called Kyojo. Last year, the last thing he was in was a TV series called Grand Meissen Tokyo.
Oh, okay. So that's another French blend. What's the deal with the French and Japanese being blended? Japanese chef in a French cuisine.
Yeah.
It's cool. He has 2 Michelin stars. Do you know that if you have 1 Michelin star, you're still, like, one of the greatest in the world?
Oh, wow.
Like, there is a, I think it's in the Philippines, there is, like, a stand, like a sushi stand, like in a market somewhere that has 1 Michelin star.
Well, I mean, honestly, is it due solely to, like, the quality and how good the food tastes?
I think it has to be.
I don't know. I don't know how much it is also due to, like, the cleanliness of the restaurant, how much, you know, business you're bringing in or...
I think that's,
but I mean, dude, there's
what the health inspectors do.
Yeah, there's some sushi places in Japan that it would probably take years to get a reservation there.
we're gonna plan. We're gonna go to dinner in 13 years here.
I mean, you know, that's why you go there when you have connections.
Akihiro, actually, before we move on, the Howl equivalent in America is voiced by Christian Bale.
Boy, I don't know why this line is so long. This tune rolled. It's like it's been inside a stripper's asshole.
Are you channeling Grandma Sophie? Akihiro Miwa plays Arachi no Majo. Sure. It's the Witch of the Waste.
Is it the Witch of the Waste? Okay, I thought maybe it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who is third billed on here? She was also a voice in Princess Mononoke, Moro no Kimi, which I don't remember that.
Well, it might have been a different name if you saw the American version. The English version.
Yeah, I don't... Oh, Moro is... Oh, it's the wolf.
Oh, okay.
It's the wolf god.
Oh, man. So she has 22 acting credits. She, as Tim said, began work in 1957.
I did.
Oh, did you?
I
thought you said
so.
That. Never mind. Yeah, she started work in 1957 as in Danryu as playing a singer.
Mm-hmm. And then 1 year later, she'd do Onode Arukoto, which she'd be a singer. She is the Black Lizard.
Yeah.
Throw away your books, rally in the streets. I like that name.
That is cool.
Maya at the Hell.
Nice.
Is the name of the character she plays in that. Japanese belly button.
Where she plays businessman slash Yakuza assistant professor.
Is that one character or three different characters? She's like, that's on my business card.
Yeah, in 2009 she was in Pokemon Arceus and the Jewel of Life.
Oh, that.
She played the voice of Arceus.
Arceus was cool.
Oh, Arceus, yeah. I forget his name.
The god of Pokemon.
That's right, he is the god of Pokemon. It's weird that there's a god
of Pokemon. That is a Pokemon that you can still catch.
Yeah.
Toy Reanimator. That sounds like that. What's that movie I like?
That does that mean? Nine. I mean, like, what if he's not the god of mankind and he can't? Does that mean you can catch your own god?
What's the name of that movie the franchise I like that has like.
I would have never made you, Diane, if I knew you were going to shove me in a fucking plastic ball.
Well, no, I just think Arceus the god of the world of Pokemon or just Pokemon?
But if he's the god of the world of Pokemon is their world.
Imagine catching God.
I know! That's what I'm saying.
Go!
And forcing God to fight for you?
Oh, no, he fainted. No, there is no God!
I'm the master of God. I am God's God! Pokemon's fucked up, bro.
It is.
I mean, I guess it already is fucked up if you think about, like, capturing animals against their will and keeping them in a little ball and forcing them to fight
each other.
They
get small.
They get bloodied up.
Sure, it looks like a studio apartment in there.
I have seen people's, like, representations of what the inside of a Pokemon might look like.
Yeah, it's seventh plane of torment. <Yeah. laughs> Or remember also, when Hal opens the door and it's just flames, he just flies out there. That's what the Pokeball is.
Or it could be like a really nice studio apartment. You never know.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Still got to pay rent in this shit.
But it's also why
do I got Pokeball quality studio apartment, but I'm paying Master Ball size rent?
It's also fucked up that if you think about the fact that, like, when you see the Pokemon being sucked into the ball, it's like an energy being sucked into that. So it gets turned into an energy.
Yeah, you could turn God into energy.
So it's like somebody created a technology to break down a creature's body into an energy to store into a device, which I don't know if they would technically keep their consciousness inside that ball. It's fucked up, man. I mean, you never really see Pokemon being born, but you got to think that they weren't ever meant to be turned into a form of light inside of a ball.
No. In America, the Witch of the Voice was voiced by Lauren Bacall. Tetsuya Gashuin plays Karushifa, which in English is Calcifer. This person is cool.
Okay, I got to say. You have to respect a man that just rocks that unibrow.
Holy shit.
That thing is fucking... Wow. That is what I would call a caterpillar unibrow.
Wow. That is...
That is solid on his face.
Trying to get rid of it.
Dude, that's the most connected unibrow I've ever seen.
I was going to say, that's the only unibrow... That's like...
But it doesn't
look... Sit down, Anthony Davis.
His face, it doesn't look bad on him.
Oh, I don't like this photo of him as a doctor. Oh, I don't want that dude doing my surgery.
So expressive.
Do you see that picture?
And he's got the face mask on, and he's got the little hat, so it's like all you can see is a portion of his nose and the eyebrows.
Oh,
like,
God.
Very accented. Love it.
That clock counts down to your death. Because he will do malpractice on you. That was in a TV miniseries he starred in called...
Is it any better than Billy Crystal?
I don't know. The Confidence Man JP. And his character's name was Dr. Dangerous. So I have every reason to not trust this man. He was in Redline in 2009. I didn't see, but I heard was cool. Apparently I'd like that if I liked Initial D. So
he was in a video game called Shadow Hearts.
Yes, in 01. He was also in Drakengard 2. Party 7, which is a show from, or a movie from 2000. Shark Skin Man and Peach Hip Girl.
And Spirited Away.
And I Want to Be a Shellfish in 1950. He worked one film every 20 years for the first three decades.
Yeah, and then he started to slow down a bit, and he has...
Six decades. He would work in 59, then 79, then 98, and then in 2000, he'd start working consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Spirited Away, he's Elgaru?
Yeah, I don't remember who that is.
Oh, it's the frog thing. I've seen the frog before.
Ryunosuke Kamiki plays Marukuru.
Which is Markle.
Who is the little boy who is Hal's assistant.
Yes, yes. And you mentioned it earlier, Billy Crystal is Calcifer in the English version. So Ryunosuke Kamiki is also in Weathering With You as Taki. And I think this is the male.
He has been...
Not Weathering With You. Sorry.
Your Name.
Your Name, Taki. Yeah, Taki Tachibana in 2016. So it was 4 years ago.
Yeah, he has been in a lot of bigger animated movies within the past few years. Mary and the Witch's Flower, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, March Comes in Like a Lion, Your Name, Fortuna's Eye, Weathering With You.
Oh, Oh, fuck.
What?
I didn't realize. Yeah, he is Taki in... So these are the same characters then?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know there was a direct correlation. I guess the dude. I don't know. I haven't seen any of these movies. I can't speak for him. But I didn't even see... Yeah, he is in Weathering With You because I didn't realize how much shit he has coming out in the... Now. Like, there's a lot.
Yeah, he's been working on a lot.
There's a lot. Young, I assume... Well, yeah, he looks like a young guy. He started in 98. And like most of these people, they do a bunch of TV series, and then they start doing full feature films.
Full feature films or bigger anime series.
Yeah.
Depending on what kind of voice acting they get into or what acting processes they go into.
In 2017, he voiced Kiriyama Ray in March Comes in Like a Lion 1 and 2, which both came out in the same year.
Well, it might be...
Obviously, it might have been
when it came to the U.S.,
I don't think so. I don't think that's how they... I think they credit them when they just release for the first time. Okay. Released April 22nd, 2017, and April 22nd. What? Why would you release your sequel the same day as your first movie? Apparently the second one is better by 0.1.
Moving on.
Markle in America is voiced by Josh Hutcherson.
Yeah.
Lastly, our last character we're going to talk about, Haruko Kato, who is really our main antagonist, sort of.
Yeah.
There's no person that's actually, like, antagonizing anybody in this movie entirely.
Not really. It's more of, like, jealousy, like, bickering and stuff like that. There's no one person that is specifically... I mean, I guess kind of. The witch is after Hal, but...
Haruko Kato... Born in 1922, died in 2015, plays Saruman, or Suleiman, which I thought was Sullivan in...
Oh, really?
...when they were saying it.
Yeah, she started work in 1940.
Yeah, that's a lot.
In Totsugu Haimade. Has been working very steadily throughout the years, throughout the 70s and 80s, through the 90s.
Gonza the Spearman. A lot of... I'm seeing a lot of trend, ocean trend... nature trend, Gray Sunset, Beyond the Shining
Hunter,
Sea.
The Wild Daisy.
Capone cries a lot.
It seems throughout the 90s she was in a series of TV movies called
Oyaji no Hige.
Yeah.
But she started in the 8th. No, wait. No, oh, okay. No. So they started in 86, the sequel in 87, third in 88.
And then just all throughout 90, like...
91 to 95, they released like 9 movies.
Jeez.
I guess they said 8th time's a charm. They're like, now we can start churning these out. Kizuna in 98, Pistol Opera in 2001, The Bullet Train Story, a TV movie in 04, and The Crying Wind in 04, the same year she'd do Howl's Moving Castle.
After Howl's Moving Castle, she started to slow down a little bit. She did do a lot of work through 2006 and 2007, she did about 3 movies and a TV or series in 2008. Her last thing in 2011 was Majutsu wa Sasayaku, which was a TV movie. And in 2010, she did an episode on Divorced Under One Roof.
Yeah, which is the opposite of what we expect.
We have
women do not divorce.
Women do not divorce.
Who do not divorce.
Before Prescription Police.
But she was also...
she was in a TV miniseries called Prescription Police, and then a TV series called Before Prescription Police.
She was also in Kiki's Delivery. She was played by Blythe Danner in the West. So, that is that. Let's talk about
those
our soundtrack.
Those are our people behind the movie.
Our soundtrack is Joe again. And man, this is so beautiful.
Oh, I know. Honestly, like I said, the story is a little bit all over the place. It's mainly focused on the love story between Hal and Sophie, but the animation, like the beautiful scenery, the amazing like shot styles that angles of shots that they use, and like all the different places they can go, like the fact that it's such a magical world and they play with that so beautifully, and the music behind that is what make this probably my favorite movie.
Mm-hmm.
The story for me takes like is a secondary thing. It's almost like everything else about this movie that makes it so beautiful.
So Joe has done, he's done so much with Miyazaki, like almost everything. Plus how many Japanese and also French compositions. But it's there was a lot of kind of like with the Totoro soundtrack. It was very happy, like children's songs.
Yeah.
A lot of like marching types, and then there was vocals, and there are vocals in the end credits song.
It's very children's exploring music.
It's really just a piano.
Yeah.
But it's gorgeous. And there's also trumpets, like when Sophie visits Howell's childhood, mm-hmm. like the flashback where he swallows Calcifer.
Yeah.
And there's like a trumpet solo, like a lone trumpet. It's absolutely gorgeous, and I think it's really pretty with the scenery, but it also does paint a picture of like it's very opposite what is happening in the story, which is like there's war and like weird demons that are losing their human form because they're serving someone and they're transforming
it's wizards that are serving their because there's two kings facing, or two countries, I guess, facing off against each other. So whatever wizards that work for whatever king were asked to fight in the war, they guess in the book or in the movie, they explain it as like they have the ability to transform into these creatures. But the longer or the more that they do it or stay in that transformation, then they can't transform back. So now that they're transformed to fight in this war, they can't, you know, go back to their form.
But while that's all happening, it's just like, let's calm down, listen to the piano, everything's going to be fine.
Everything's chill, everything's cool, this isn't even that important, bro.
And for something that's like, there's a lot of like kind of steampunk inspiration, like the castle.
Yeah. The castle.
That you would think like grand orchestra. No, just play the piano.
I mean, it's cool how much they make it seem like.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Like Victorian, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because it is like kind of a Victorian Britain feel.
Yeah, I mean, at least how they play it with.
But it's also like futuristic, but it's futuristic for the time. Like, there's machines that wouldn't
exist.
It's very
1930s and 40s nationalism in countries.
Yeah.
It's very leaning, like British leaning in the English version.
It's
I don't know
very
how much
Europe.
It seems. Yeah,
like, this is Europe.
Very European.
Yeah.
They lean it more towards English because they chose English voice actors for the English version of the movie. I don't know how it seems for the, you know,
that
it's just
sense.
Very generally Europe. Well, you know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah,
it's
they're,
in
they're,
English,
they're,
but they chose people from England.
Yeah, the primary voices are English, like from Britain.
Yeah. But I don't know how it would seem. I mean, it, the general atmosphere is European. I don't know how it seems like with the Japanese voice actors, though.
Yeah. And when this came out, this was the last movie. Like, they were probably, this probably was the first Miyazaki film that they were accounting for, like, an English equivalent, because the Disney deal where they were bringing over a bunch of those Miyazaki and Takahata movies, that was 1 year later. That was in 2005.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I know
people's the first exposure to Miyazaki films might have been Howl's Moving Castle in 2005, and it was the English version. This
yeah.
might be the first Miyazaki film that a lot of people might have seen.
Yeah. I don't know when the first time it was that I saw this. It was probably around the same time that I saw Spirited Away, which was when I was younger. So,
mm-hmm. So yeah, this soundtrack is absolutely gorgeous. I do like it a little more, I think, than Totoro.
Yeah.
But it is a lot less kind of like sweeping, I
Totoro
guess.
Totoro is more, you know, down-to-earth, family-paced movie.
Yeah.
This is very fantastical. It's got
whimsical,
more
dealing with
wartime.
Themes of, like, courage and growing older. And great soundtrack. But it is now time for our scene by scene.
Let's get into the movie.
Good. I'm going to sample that, and that will be our transition. Cheddar is the way to go. I remember
cheddar.
We get like the like grocery bag, like the grocery store, like actual
yeah.
like big one. And I would eat like half of that.
The only thing I like white cheddar on is a burger. I hate white cheddar flavored popcorn. White
oh,
cheddar
really?
Flavored anything really.
Oh, see, here's the thing. I've never seen white cheddar. Like when they get cheddar cheese, I always think like cheddar is like yellow.
Yeah.
And I always think it's like if a burger, like you go to a restaurant, and they're like the only cheese they put on is cheddar. I'm like, oh, okay, because cheddar
like-
is like. Almost like, flavorless.
Kind of.
That's why I like American, because it has flavor. I can actually taste the cheese.
I mean, white cheddar just looks like white American.
Yeah. Sometimes they do the double. They'll do yellow and white cheddar.
Yeah. The mixture.
That is good.
Yeah.
So I guess I have seen white cheddar.
You fucking liar. All right, let's get into the movie.
We're talking about, you know, Howl's Moving Castle. I have popcorn.
We're talking about a movie. He had to get his popcorn, guys.
Yeah.
You know,
we were
going to
get popcorn yesterday. We watched it.
I was going to make popcorn. There wasn't enough time. So whatever.
Nope. Okay. So.
Getting into the movie, the first introduction in this movie is
be rustling my bag. Yeah. I gotta figure out. I'm gonna turn my mic off for this.
It's fine. You get to see Howl's Castle, which honestly, I can hear it in my microphone.
God damn it!
You get introduced to like Howl's Castle, which really is just like a steampunk moving like monster. It's even got like a face. But it's got, it's hard to explain what it's even supposed to look like, really.
I thought it was like...
It's got, like, chicken feet legs, and it's got...
Yeah, I wanted to mention this. What's the deal with the chicken, like, everything has chicken legs, or, like, bird legs?
Oh, I don't know. Even, like, the dog.
The
like,
dog has, like, chicken
has, like,
feet.
Chicken
the
feet.
Castle does. Obviously, Howl turns into, like, some sort of crow thing, and he has big, like, chicken feet.
Yeah, I don't know what the fascination is. I mean, I don't know if that's a staple in the book, is that all, like, a lot of the creatures have, like, chicken-like legs. But
yeah.
Because it definitely seems like magic is a big portion of this world. Like, it's not something that people, you know, like, don't believe in. Because I did see in the book that, or at least in an explanation of the book, that her sister, the main Sophie's sister, or one of her sisters, is a witch in training.
Yeah, that's right. And they're alerted when, because she works in a hat shop.
Yeah.
Threading hats, is if that's what they want to call it.
Which it seems like her mom owns, or like is a family-run hat shop or something like that. Because her mom comes back later, so it seems like her mom travels a lot looking for new styles of hats around the world to bring back to the shop.
Quite possibly. So all of the sisters are alerted to Howl's Castle, which is off in the distance.
Yeah. And so throughout the movie, there's this rumor about Howl that he likes to take women into his, or the way that he, I guess, stays so young and beautiful is he takes women into his castle that he thinks are young and pretty, and he eats their hearts.
Yeah.
Or steals their hearts, or I forget the exact analogy, but
I mean, it's a guy who's not,
he's just mysterious.
He's not very popular.
Yeah.
And he's also kind of a relatively weird unknown. Like, no one really knows what he does, so that's obviously, like any movie ever.
I mean, yeah.
The townspeople are going to make up these things about people that they don't particularly...
They're afraid of what they don't understand. He keeps to himself. He keeps off in the distance so that they're going to make weird rumors about him. It's like that weird house, that weird abandoned house or old house at the end of your your neighborhood that everyone's afraid to go to on Halloween because everyone says that it's haunted. Or there's a witch there that'll eat children or something.
Or a pedophile.
Or a pedophile, but that's usually more accurate. I had a pedophile that lived down the street from me. I didn't even find out about it until years later. Like, I mean, nothing happened to me, thank God. But I was like, oh, yeah, my mom was like, yeah, that guy had, like, had some stuff come out about him. And I was like, what?
I wanted to mention, he goes and he hides, Howl's Castle goes and hides in the clouds as these blimps come by. There's like,
I don't even think it's really
blimps.
The clouds. It's like
a mist.
Fog.
Like a fog, yeah. Because I would assume this is quite a high altitude area anyways because it's very mountainous. But
yeah, and this, okay, so this scene is definitely, so Sophie has been walking through the streets by herself leaving the store. She's heading to see her sister, and she gets accosted on the street by two soldiers. And this definitely is what begins at least to solidify this movie for me as a bit more mature, because they're definitely very, very pushy. Like,
yeah,
they're like, oh, like, you know, she seems scared or, you know, whatever. She's like, oh, well, she seems even more cute when she's scared. Like, you know, very... like they would have done something to her if Howl, because Howl comes and he shows up and he uses his magic to make them, forces them to march away.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely seems like if they weren't there, then, or he hadn't shown up, then maybe something would have happened to her.
Yeah.
Which is a real reality in wartime. You know, soldiers would take advantage of their power over the citizens and the places that they were, not necessarily taking over, but occupying, I guess. But
yeah. And Howl shows up and with the weird wizardry stuff sends them marching.
Yeah,
he says, like...
So this is the thing, is that she doesn't know who he is, because everyone's aware of Howl, but no one's ever seen Howl, I guess. So she doesn't know that she's walking with Howl.
Yeah.
And he's just like, be careful, or like, they're following me, don't pay attention to it, or just like, act normal. And all of a sudden, these black blobs...
I like them because of their noses.
And their hats. What are those hats called?
They're like
hats you would
see.
They're
like straw hats, kind of. But not like, they're like...
They're like barbershop quartet straw hats.
Yeah, yeah. I associate them with Calm Lady and the Tramp hats because I don't know how else to call them.
But they get into like a little mini chase, and then Howl lifts her up and they start, you know, skywalking to back down to like a safe area.
This dude, when we saw him for the first time, and he's like, oh, there you are. What does he say? There you are, sweetie, or something like that?
Yeah, he walks in and he kind of makes it seem
I was like that
was
dude's from Yu-Gi-Oh! That dude just escaped from the Shadow Realm, and the blobs are trying to bring him back.
Seriously, bro. Something's happening.
He looked variably different than everyone else, but
he's very
says,
charming. That blonde hair, blue-eyed.
Yeah.
See, this is what... this is what kind of irks me about him, is that because we find out later on that he uses spells to kind of keep himself like how he wants to look.
Yeah, there's that's the theme of like aging and everything, like growing older.
And since this takes place in, not the West, but a Western-style nation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So it's European,
So it's, you know, it's European-style nation. Yeah. I would say that it's the European style of perfection, blonde hair, blue eyed.
Yeah.
So that's what he, that's the form that he takes, is what everybody considers to be like the
Aryan.
Top, yeah, Aryan, the top like cream of the creme, whatever the, yeah. what that expression is.
Yeah. And when Howell leaves, he says like, "That's my girl." Or like, I'll see you outside." And it's
very charming, very
very charming. He talks to people like he's known them forever.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a reason behind that. We'll talk about later in the movie.
Mm-hmm. He needs to be well liked by everybody
because there are a lot of weird plot holes or just things that I could not figure out. And I'm hoping that you can explain some of these things to me if you might understand them better than I do.
Okay.
Watching it for the first time. But there's a lot of things I couldn't wrap my head around it all the way. But I understood, and a lot of that was like what we were talking about with like the gray hair
mm-hmm.
and like how her aging was. And I didn't even know that the aging spell wore off at night when she was asleep.
Yeah, yeah, when she was sleeping, it goes away and shows what she really looks like. But she is having a conversation with her sister, who shows a little bit of concern because she's like, everybody saw you float onto the balcony.
Yeah.
What the fuck just happened?
And she's like, so I wasn't dreaming.
Which it's weird because she definitely...
They're like, be careful around the wizards. If it was Howell, he could have eaten you.
Yeah, but it definitely seems like... So if everybody knows that there's wizards and witches and magic and all this stuff, but, like, she's like, oh, I floated onto the thing. Like, she's like, oh, that wasn't a dream. Like, she makes it seem like that was, like, an unbelievable thing that just happened to her. But yet they believe in magic? I don't know.
Yeah. I'm noticing a nice attention to detail.
Everything is very filled out in detail.
Very
everything has its own
yeah no role. Absolutely but this fella here he tells his the sister that the chocolate eclairs are done and he takes out a box to peek his head in
yeah
and it looks impossible because there's a bunch of boxes stacked up on it
yeah
so the very very ends of either box on top are actually on the left and right you can see that's what's keeping them up.
Oh man,
that is so
that's great
yeah.
attention to detail.
I had noticed. I was like, because we got to that point, and we're both
what
yelling
is that?
At the
just
screen.
Like one abnormally shaped box.
On I top guess so. Yeah, I guess maybe not. Everything's perfect though. It's not perfectly stacked, which is fine. Which is even more detail that you made it like not just straight. That would be so easy to do, but it's not real looking. So
okay, so the sister is showing concern for Sophie, like, do you want to spend the rest of your life in that hat shop? Like, you got to find something better to do with your life. But like, she's working in what, like a bakery? Like, she's so much better.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. The bakery. Oh no,
come work in the bakery,
eat my hot poo.
It's so much better than the hat shop, dear.
Yeah.
But this is where we get introduced to the Witch of the West.
Witch of the Waste.
Witch of the Waste. Well, actually, at first, when she first says her name, I thought she said Witch of the West.
Well, yeah, me too. I like these ink blobby dudes, especially the one in the back who just kind of leans against the, like, he's drunk.
Yeah, her servants.
I gotta work today. I gotta do it. All we gotta do is walk.
Yeah. She's marching along. I like that. I want to know how, because I'm sure the inside of that like little container cart thing that they carry around in is enchanted, because there's no way that her fat form...
No, it's a Pokeball.
Yeah, it's her own personal mobile Pokeball.
Yeah, well, she
Pokeballs
is gone.
Are already mobile, but
yeah. But once the day turns to night and
Sophie's back
really the only eventful thing that's happened is Howell hung out with her for a little bit. That was really it.
They got the end of the chase, yeah. Which we find out were the Witch of the Waste little minions who she sent after Hal. And the Witch of the Waste shows up at Sophie's shop late at night.
Mm-hmm.
Very fat.
That's not just neck flaps or neck
it's like,
folds.
There's one thing. Yeah, yeah. There's the thing between like where they say fat people don't have a neck. She has too much neck.
Like, she is only neck.
God, man, how can she breathe
with through her skin?
Yeah, I know, but it's a very short transaction. Like, she comes in and just straight up insults Sophie.
Yeah,
she's
tacky,
like,
hat
and
up,
it's funny because you find out that her and Hal used to date, so it's almost like a catty little like, oh, he's with this bitch now or whatever. Like, even though he only spent literally like 10 minutes with her, basically just to get her away from a group of other guys and to run away from the group of captors that Witch of the Waste sent at him. But yeah, she out of a fit of, in a fit of jealousy that he, I guess he even spent time with her. He or she goes visit Sophie and then casts this spell on her to turn her into an old woman.
Mm-hmm. Old woman.
And not only does it turn into an old woman, but she's not allowed or able to talk about who the spell prevents her
from speaking about it.
Yeah, from speaking about who cast the spell on her.
Yeah.
She can say that there's a spell on her, but she can't say who put it on her.
Yeah.
Which is stupid, because basically everybody throughout this movie figures out that the Witch of the Waste is the one that put the spell on her.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Without her even having to say anything.
She kind of freaks out for a little bit, but she's also like, she handles herself pretty well.
Like, yeah, I'm impressed. That's one of the things is like by the next morning, she's like, guess I'm an old woman now.
Yeah. Like, she's like, oh, stay calm. You just sleep it off. Yeah. The next morning she wakes up looking like a Jawa.
Her mom comes back so this is where I say that she basically, her mother just travels around. It doesn't go into an explanation of how her relationship is with her mom. It doesn't seem to be bad.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem that her mother is around that often.
No.
But she basically fakes being sick, decides that, you know, well, I can't stick around like this. Someone's going to either think that I'm just some weird woman and kick me out or whatever. So she decides to go off on her own.
Yeah. She's already looking at the advantages and she hasn't been.
Yeah. She's like,
been able to be awake long enough to contemplate the spell for.
Yeah. She's like, well, at least now my clothes finally match my age.
Yeah.
Because I guess she dressed like an old suit. Woman, yeah. Right? She basically just packs a little bundle full of bread and cheese.
It's confusing. You're making a good point of like, it is confusing the relationship between the mother and Sophie.
Yeah.
We don't. I assume her purpose is like, go expand the business.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming because she says like, oh, this hat's all the rage in whatever town that she was just in. So I'm assuming she's like going out to find new hat styles from around the country or around the world to bring back to the shop so they can make them.
Yeah. But she just takes off.
Yeah. Like literally within like
she goes
minutes.
To try and get the curse removed. Does she not?
No, she doesn't know. Well, I don't know if she's going to the Waste to find the Witch of the Waste or if she's just going there because she because she doesn't, after being turned into a woman, she can't necessarily just start a new life within the city because people know her.
Yeah.
If she decides to just go off on her own. Mm-hmm. But I honestly.
She gets on a wagon.
Yeah.
And we realize when she sits down to have lunch, the wagon maybe went like, what, a mile and a half?
Yeah, because she never goes out of her way to try to find the Witch of the Waste.
You're right.
But she does, she comes across, she's just kind of sitting down. She's not even that far outside of the city. She's just like just now into the wasteland.
Yeah.
And she's sitting down eating her bread and cheese and she sees a stick overturned in the bush.
Yeah. By the way, wasteland is anything but.
Oh, yeah. No, it's very lush.
Yeah.
It's very lush. It's very foggy, but it's got, you know, mountains, lots of greenery. Not a lot of trees, but.
So because it's pre-industrialization Europe. Bread and cheese is the only meal you can have.
Yeah,
or bread and one ingredient combination.
If she's going on a journey and she doesn't know how long it's going to be, like bread and cheese.
It'll fill you up.
It'll fill you up, but it's not going to last long.
No.
Traveling.
No, but you'll be full for a little bit.
They don't got preservatives like we do now.
She sees a stick protruding out of a bush, which she thinks will make a great cane because she's 90 years old and realizes walking freaking hurts.
Yeah.
So she goes and pulls it out, realizes it's a scarecrow.
Realizes it's an enchanted scarecrow.
She realizes it's an enchanted scarecrow after saying, oh, its head is a turnip. My least favorite of the vegetables.
Well, that, and it's windy, and it's standing upright by itself without being shoved into the ground.
Yeah.
And, like, balancing itself.
Yeah. And the turnip starts following her.
Yeah, it basically, it finds a cane for her, which God knows where the fuck it found a cane.
Yeah, like an actual cane.
Like a nice cane, too.
Yeah.
not like some, like, stick that she could use, but he finds her a cane. And basically, at first she was like, you know, I've had enough of witches and spells or whatever, leave me alone. But as soon as he gives her the cane, she's like, kind of switches her tune. She's like, oh, thanks.
Yeah.
She's like, if you could do one more thing for me, you could go find me a place to sleep. Which I mean, first of all, she's still like right outside of the city.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're leaving a city and you've barely gone. Oh, man. I want to know if this is just
because like, follow me to the place you just left. That's where we're going.
She's like, go find me a place to stay. Goes back into the direction where she was coming from.
Yeah.
And then she continues onward. And he's like, even if he finds a place for her to stay, it would be back in the direction she's leaving.
How many hours have passed and we can still see the same size, like, backdrop of the town?
Oh, I know. She's in the same exact area she's been in the whole time. She's like, I mean, I don't know if it's supposed to emphasize the fact that, like, she's old now and it takes her forever to get
slow.
Fucking anywhere.
Yeah.
But as she sits down and... heavy breathing.
It contemplates how she's going to die in this cold wasteland.
She smells a fire.
I guess so.
Because she smells, I guess, smoke. And the moment that she, like, reaches the top of the hill, Howl's Castle comes up from the other side.
Yeah, because the Mr. Turniphead.
I found a shelter.
I found a battleship.
Get on the giant robot turd.
Yeah, she's like, I needed fucking a place to stay, not a gigantic moving machine-based amphibian fuck. She's definitely like, I mean, she does say later on that because she's old, or one of the things that she got from being old is that she's not afraid anymore.
Yeah.
But
you've been old for what, 24 hours?
Not even really.
No, not yet.
Yeah, she is just, I guess, you know, I'm going to get on the fucking moving giant beast of a castle.
Yep. Because I ain't waiting for you.
Yeah, it's definitely not waiting for her. She's running to try to catch up with it. And she hops on. Thanks, Mr. Turniphead, who, when she jumps on, her shawl flies away.
Yeah, he goes after it.
Gets it.
He's just fun to watch.
He's just there.
He's just there. He's not one of the crew either. He's just some other dude.
No, yeah, he just pops up, honestly, every once in a while when, you know, you need a turniped.
Whenever he gets stuck.
Yeah.
So, under the impression that Howl won't devour her soul because she's old.
Yeah, yeah. She comes to the conclusion that because she's old and frail and ugly, that Howl wouldn't eat her heart.
Nope. Impossible. So, Ninja Granny.
Ninja Granny. She's, like, sneaking around, looking up and around the room.
She gets up. And it's not, I mean, it's a...
it's just really dusty and full of cobwebs.
Yeah, but I wouldn't call it a... floor's not looking great.
No, it's more of just, like, it looks very old.
Yeah.
You know? But this is where she meets Calcifer for the first time.
Yes, Mike Wazowski.
Mike Wazowski.
/ Calcifer. I didn't realize Billy Crystal's version of Calcifer, it's really hard to just not do Mike Wazowski. Because I've seen movies with Billy Crystal, and sure, his natural voice sounds close to that, but it's like, maybe that's just for animated roles, I don't know. It's just like a goofier version of his voice, or
just
a more like dramatic version of his voice.
Just slightly more animated.
I had a feeling that he hated this role. I don't know. He's like, what the fuck is Jim?
I don't know. It's a pretty popular movie, so.
Yeah. I don't know. There's something about it that just feels lifeless, but whatever.
Yeah, but she meets Calcifer, and he's just like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah. But she's not very intimidated, even though he's like, I'm a fire demon.
Yeah, and she, I guess, knows about fire demons?
I think.
Or at least has heard about them.
Yeah. I mean, people are familiar with the fact that Howl is a thing.
Yeah.
And there's a giant bullfrog moving castle out there that they're just like, oh, I want to see it. Like it's the ice cream truck.
Yeah.
You know?
But they basically come to this, like, deal that Calcifer will help break the curse on her if she helps break the curse on that Howl has on Calcifer, which basically keeps him trapped in, like, that fireplace running the whole castle.
Yeah.
Moving it, keeping the water warm, you know, cooking, whatever.
He's a slave.
Yeah.
He is heat, so.
He's a demon that is under Howl's control.
Yes. But he also won't make promises that he'll even break the spell on her.
Yeah.
Because he's a demon.
Yeah.
So, but he's...
it's basically how she makes a slight, like a small deal with him, and that's basically how she gets to stay.
Yeah.
She, the next morning, she wakes up and she meets
Markle. It's Markle.
Markle.
And
she wakes up and he basically just kind of, I love how he runs down the stairs because someone's knocking at the door and he just goes, who are you? Walks over and then pulls on his hood and pulls down his beard.
And there's some allusion to future events. Like, they send, when we see this house somewhere in the seaside, there are these battleships kind of going off to battle, we assume, because A, that's what they do.
Yeah,
and
there's
B,
two countries.
It's like a kind of like a bon voyage type.
There's two countries that are at war in this movie, and the war is very background story of this movie till the end.
Yeah, the context of it isn't very well known.
Yeah, it's just like two nations are at war, and we know that Hal has, I guess, his house has a house in each place,
mm-hmm.
and pretends to be a wizard of like each country.
Yeah,
but he has a little assistant, Markle, who, practicing his magic, pulls over this like blue hood, which makes him grow this giant gray beard.
Yeah,
or maybe he just puts it on himself. I don't know.
It's him practicing spells.
Yeah,
but it does look like an inverted like. Cloak that there is a beard on the other side that he could just pull out.
Yeah.
It does look like that.
It definitely looks fake.
Yeah.
But I love how his eyes change.
Yeah,
too.
His eyes go completely different directions.
<I know.
laughs> Yeah. Every time he puts
it
on.
Oh, he just adds like wrinkles to his face and everything.
Mm-hmm. So there, we see for the first time that this door, this front door, has like four different dials on it. Mm-hmm. And each time you dial it, it opens to a different location.
But there's only four locations it can go to.
Yeah, only up to four locations that it can go to. But at the same time, when Markle opens the door, they're serving the same purpose. It's like a spell shop.
Yeah, there's a house
for wizards, but every wizard is like a different name. It's a different, like Elias or Alibi or whatever you call it.
Pendragon, and then there's another one.
The Great Wizard Jenkins.
Jenkins and Pendragon.
Yeah.
Yeah, he basically, inside of his castle, the outside of the door, there's a dial, and he can go to other houses that he owns in actual cities by just walking through that door. But he uses the house to sell spells to people in both cities and basically to, I guess, keep an eye on both cities.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, it is kind of a market. So we see at the Pendragon town, which is the town of like it's basically the main city.
The royal capital.
Yeah, royal capital of whatever country. I like their flag.
Oh,
it's very girly,
it's
but I like the colors.
Very beautiful.
Like
very
pink
green
and yellow.
And pink and,
yeah. But
I love how their planes are so not aerodynamic.
No, not
wings.
At all.
They're just like,
it's basically air bikes.
Yeah.
Air bike blimps. They're saying that all the wizards need to report to whoever is
to their
in
king.
Charge, whatever king, because of the fact that
the countries are going to war.
The countries are going to go to war with each other. So she opens one of the third dial, which takes you out to...
It looks like the waste.
It looks like the waste. It might be somewhere up in the mountains.
I think it's just... It doesn't take you out to a specific place. It just takes you out to wherever the actual castle is at.
Because it is, I think, the black dial, is it not?
No, the black dial leads to... Okay, so I think that the green dial and the red dial lead to the two cities.
Yeah.
Whatever other dial, or the blue dial, leads to wherever the actual castle is at. And then I think the black dial leads to wherever the battle is.
Maybe. But she starts taking on this kind of the grandmotherly role of the house, where
the
she
housekeeper
starts...
The housekeeper kind of takes care of everybody, cooks the food, cleans, whatever.
And man, we talked about this when we watched the movie, but animated foods, dude.
Oh, good.
That
the bacon is huge.
Bacon is huge.
Man, they really know how to make you like hungry in a movie. I don't even really like... I hate eating cheese by itself. Like, there's nothing... Like, all of my siblings and my parents love to like go down in like the middle of the night and just eat like slices of cheese out of the fridge. I think it's disgusting. Like, unless you have cheese like with something, like cheese by itself is gross. But even like the chunks of cheese that they have in this movie look amazing.
Look really good. Yeah, and like in my head I know what it would taste. I think of what it would taste like, and there's no realistic way to replicate that.
No, not at all.
Like, that bacon's like thick and juicy. Have you ever had thick bacon, juicy bacon? Probably not, because it's supposed to be like crispy and salty.
Yeah,
you
it's
know
more
I mean?
Of like thick slabs of ham, really.
Yeah, yeah. And I would love like bacon, like bacon flavor with the consistency of like, I don't know, like a cooked ham or something. That'd be cool.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Oh yeah.
So
the taste of bacon, but yeah, with that. Oh, can you imagine that? Oh man, on a cheeseburger. We're making ourselves hungry.
I have an idea. We call it a hamburger.
But even more literal.
Yeah.
Hal walks in and is introduced to old Sophie. Which I don't know if he ever got her name when she was younger and they met, but she introduces herself as Sophie. Basically, he kind of takes over the cooking duties and just kind of accepts the fact that she's there.
She said that
she says
Calcifer like hired her to be the housekeeper, basically,
because he was, I guess, tired of doing stuff himself.
Yeah.
Or this place, just because the place was a mess.
Yeah.
Which it is.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a little more believable than nothing. They sit down and he strangely just goes like, you know, Sophie, like, what do you have in your pocket? And she's like, what? And she like reaches down and pulls out this little red slip of paper that has a weird symbol on it and hands it over to Hal. And I don't know if it was some sort of message from the Witch of the Waste or a curse or something like that.
It's like the mark of the curse, I think.
Yeah, and it burns itself onto the table, but Hal burns it back off of the table,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, it's so, I don't know.
I don't know if by
seeing that...
He says
that the mark is gone, the spell still remains on it.
Yeah, and I don't know if by seeing that, if that means that he knows that there's a curse that's put on Sophie. I don't think he knows who Sophie is yet. Like, at least not who her younger version is. But I don't know if that was to tell him that there is a curse on Sophie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's very hard to figure out. The kid asks, because he thinks that she might be a witch, if she's working for the Witch of the Waste, and she...
Which, I mean, is
gets
a reasonable
really frustrated.
Question,
yeah, she gets really frustrated.
Note from the Witch of the Waste.
She's very frustrated about
it. She fucking slams the table.
She can't say that, like, I wouldn't work for her because she put this curse on me, but she can't say it.
Yeah.
Can't work it.
She goes into fucking raging.
You forget she's old very fast.
I know, because she does have, it in some scenes at least, a lot of energy.
Yeah.
But yeah, she is going crazy cleaning this house.
Mm-hmm. And well, Markle has his disguise out and he's putting basically kind of like a market outside of the wizard's house. And some guy asks for a potion if it's ready. And he goes, come back later. There's a witch going crazy in there.
Okay, so it annoys me that she goes ahead and cleans the whole floor and like brushes it and deck scrubs it, whatever, before she cleans out the fireplace. I love it. Yeah, she pulls out Calcifer from the fire pit and just puts him in a little pot.
Yeah.
He's just like, I'm going to go out. Please help me. Help me.
Yeah. Yeah.
His little like flaming butt. I love his little legs.
he's like a flame, but then he has a pancreas. Like that's like it.
I think it's Hal's heart.
It is Hal's heart. Yeah. Spoiler for the movie that you've probably watched if you're watching this episode. Hal's.
So this is my favorite part of the movie.
I forgot.
He basically she's in the middle of cleaning. He walks down the stairs after he's, you know, cleaned up.
Yeah. He's like, please don't torture my friend again.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't know. If Calcifer goes out, basically Calcifer and Hal both die. But they don't really.
No, if Calcifer dies, then Hal dies. Or if Hal dies,
right,
then Calcifer dies.
Right.
But he was saying that, you know, don't let Sophie get too carried away.
Yeah.
And then turns to the black dial, opens up the door to just a mixture of, like, flames and darkness, and then just jumps in.
Sleeves hanging out like a little kid. Whee!
No one says anything. They're just like, all right.
I was not expecting that at all. It was great. I was like Monsters Inc. Like that's not her door.
Yeah. It would have been so much better if there were screams in the distance. Like she's out to go.
Hang
upstairs.
On, I gotta go run to the market in the seventh plane of torment.
Yeah,
I'll return.
I gotta go get some wombat demon eye brain skulls.
And when you really think about it, the dude just flew into a war zone.
Yeah, no,
that's what that is. I'll be back later, but he's still super joyous about it.
About to go fight a war. And it must be real nice though to go straight from the war to home.
Yeah.
But, dude, yeah, she goes into the bathroom, and it literally looks like someone just Shrek'd all of this fucking bathroom.
Shrek'd.
Oh, like, all over the walls, all over the sink, the fucking bathtub's just covered in Shrek.
It's the shit bath. Actually, it is, because he did the intro with the mud.
Yeah.
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 Oh, man.
Yeah, but it's all different colors of Shrek.
Purple Shrek.
Green Shrek. Well, you Shrek. Just Shrek.
Shrek a la mode. But
I love this. Yeah, she loves she loves the view from the top, and she goes down. She's like, Calcifer, is this you moving the castle? She's like, I love your spark. And then he gets all happy about it. He's like, she likes my spark. It
makes it go faster, I guess.
Or something, yeah. But yeah, she walks out onto, like, this must be really cool. There's a little balcony on the side of the castle.
Mm-hmm.
But she, like, looks over the corner, and she sees the fucking Mr. Turnipet shoved into the, like, top of the castle, which this thing has been moving for, like, a while. So I don't know how this thing got, one, on top of, like, the side of the castle, which is, like, what, 50 feet up in the air?
Probably. But she frees him, and he's just chilling with them now.
Yeah.
Still not totally part of the crew. I think he does disappear at one point again.
But just hangs out. He's hanging around.
He's always there, man.
Yeah. He took a liking to Sophie ever since she saved him.
Yeah.
And now she saved him twice.
Yeah. Well, I think because Turniped knows that he has a curse and that she has a curse. And maybe if she's on a mission to find out how to free her curse,
then maybe he'll get freed. Which is kind of sad, because it's like, why would he want his curse to be freed?
Because
he'll just become unanimated and die, really. He's like,
dude's hopping on his genitalia.
The pain of living as a turnipet. But they're setting up a little picnic outside and doing laundry.
And they're going to dine. They're going to dine like kings, Ryan. Oh, I'm talking bread and a single slice of meat.
Dude, I don't even know if it's meat. We were debating.
You were thinking it may
this.
Have been a
it's
tomato?
It's either a big slice of meat or it's a slice of a tomato. I think it's a tomato just because of the patterns on the inside. But it is beautiful looking. I mean, they're on a prime.
Yeah, they're looking at like a storm.
Ocean spot.
But, yeah, it is majestic.
See the mountains all around you and the ocean, and you can see the storm rolling in while you're eating your mater and toast.
Mater and toast?
Mater and toast.
What's that?
Tomato and toast.
Oh, tomato!
Your mater.
What the fuck?
And toast.
You're from... What?
You never heard of a tomato being called a mater?
I've heard tomato, but I've never heard mater.
Miter.
Miter. Tomater.
Tomater. That miter of real look.
It's not even a real language.
Yeah, neither is the South.
The South isn't even real. What, Mason-Dixon? You mean where the ocean begins? I am very much not comfortable with bird body, human head.
Oh, I know. And it's weird that, like, in this sequence, he has the human head with the bird body. But when he goes back into his house, he has, like, the human face with the bird head.
I feel like that has to do with the fact that he gets chased by his own people.
So, this scene is confusing because he was called to battle by both kings, although it's not clear which country he's actually fighting for.
He's neutral. He's not fighting for either of them, I think.
But he's just in the battle. But who is he fighting?
No idea.
But yeah, so he gets into a battle with a bunch of magicians that have turned themselves into monsters and now can never go back to their normal bodies.
Yeah. Which Calcifer warns Howl about because he shows up looking like a dreck every single time.
Yeah, he's all ragged with his with scrapes and scars all over him. And he just slams himself down under the chair in front of the fire.
Mm-hmm. And but it looks really relaxing, though.
Yeah, I mean, Howl is such a weird character in this because he calls himself a coward. He calls himself... I don't know if he was out there just checking to see how the war was, because he wasn't really fighting anyone.
No.
But he, you know, he comes off as a weird mixture of, like, courageous, yet, like, a coward and a baby. I don't know. But he's just kind of is relaxing in front of the fire. But the next morning, basically, he goes into a full-on temper tantrum because Sophie and her... Before that, he looks into Sophie's sleeping area and sees actually the young Sophie, because as we mentioned earlier, her thing goes
her spell goes away
when she's sleeping.
Yeah,
her and Markle decide to go out to the market.
Yep. And she's going to pick and he's going to pay.
Yeah.
Seems to be the deal.
I love this scene because she's walking around and she's picking out like a bunch of potatoes. And he's like, oh, I hate potatoes.
<'Cause> pay
he's,
up.
He's dressed as his old man form. Yeah. Yeah. He's like, pay up. And she goes to the fish and he goes, oh, I hate fish.
I like it.
But,
And he's got the lazy eye thing again.
Yeah.
He's great.
I don't know. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, like literally out of nowhere, like I didn't think it was possible for planes to be this discreet. But like
one battleship shows up completely battle damaged, smoke pluming from it.
Yeah.
And all of the men like getting onto these like rescue boats that are around it as it pulls back into its port.
Yeah. The damaged Navy vessel is being pulled back into port. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, like two bombs drop into the water and then a bunch of, I guess they call it enemy propaganda is being dropped from planes in the sky.
And while this is all happening, Sophie notices that one of the Witch of the Waste's henchmen is just chilling.
I don't understand the purpose of these motherfuckers because they can't.
What are they going to do?
Can they observe and report? They can't report. They can't talk.
No.
She can like somehow see their experiences like through their eye.
But what is the point of capturing Sophie?
I don't know. They're stylish as fuck though.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're sharp as fuck, bro. Like,
no more heroes characters. And yeah, they bomb the town.
They don't even
with
hit the
propaganda
town,
letters.
They hit the water in like the same spot twice, and then just like shove propaganda letters down.
What does the propaganda even read?
I don't know.
You're in the wrong town, idiot.
You're in the wrong area. You're
come on,
your
our
king's
country.
A dictator. Our king's a cooler dictator.
Pay. He kills far less people for stupid reasons than you'd imagine.
We let you
but he
keep,
still kills people for stupid reasons.
Yeah, we let you keep three of your goats and your sheep. They only let you keep two of your goats and one of your sheep. But now Hal fucking comes flying out of the bathroom freaking out because in Sophie's organization, she mixed up his potions that he uses to keep, I guess, his hair the
same. His looks consistent.
Yeah, and she accidentally dyed his hair red.
Yeah, he's a redhead.
Look bad.
No, he's a redhead now. But
now we find
apparently
out how
being
important...
ginger is rough in this world.
Yeah, but now we find out how important it is to Hal that to his looks.
His looks maintain. Yeah.
He's very self-centered when it comes to his personal looks and his beauty. And his hair changes from red now to black.
Yeah.
And he literally goes into this fucking temper tantrum of summoning the demons of the darkest depths of the underworld because he changed his hair color by accident.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. And then he his like body turns into this fucking, like, I don't know, like he gets like a 2 inches of slime all around his body because he starts to act like a little fucking bitch.
He's got that thick, thickly around him.
Yeah. And Markle's like, I've only ever seen this once before when a girl dumped him.
He just covers himself in his own product.
Yeah, and he's like, he literally says, like, if I can't be beautiful, there's no reason to even keep on living.
Yeah, so what is this? Like, what will happen?
I don't know.
He just
it doesn't
goo.
Seem like nothing. It just seems like nothing happens.
He just gets gooey.
Yeah, and then she, like, I don't know. She runs off because she is... I don't understand this part because she
needs a breather and then she'll go back in and
she never, I don't know if it's because she's been told her whole life that she was unattractive because I mean, everyone in her family seems very supportive of her.
Yeah.
But she's definitely like thought her whole life that she's not been at least that attractive. I don't know. It's very tongue in cheek in how they kind of give you information in this movie, but
yeah. And this was the first time that I had noticed that her posture is upright again.
Yeah, she is definitely starting to gain a more youthful appearance.
Yes.
And I don't know if that is through just her connection with Hal.
I would assume it has something to do with it.
Yeah. I think it's just, I don't know if him being so powerful is just like weakening the connection or whatever. And the demons are all gone, but he's still going to turn into a big sludge fuckery thing of what the fuck. Yeah, they basically push his slime body up the stairs, and his towel falls down. She's just like, whoa, and keeps her eyes up, shoves him into the shower. And then he becomes like this wimpy little fucking bitch. Like, he won't even get out of bed because he changed his goddamn hair color. Like, you would think that one little temper tantrum was enough. No. And his room looks like a fucking, like he's a gypsy stripper.
I was going to say every white girl who had a tapestry thought her room looked like this.
I know. This is what every girl who tried acid when she was 16 tried to make her room look like.
Yeah. Bad acid, too.
Oh, man.
But I pretended it was good.
And I thought the Beatles and Led Zeppelin were the best things that were ever going to happen.
Like, we're channeling a very specific type of like angst towards someone.
I know.
But I get it.
So,
tapestries are stupid.
Dude, fuck tapestries.
I don't give a fuck.
Okay, fuck.
All right. Little tangent. How many.
Fuck tapestries and drug rugs.
What the hell is a drug rug? I had a.
Rugs were those big, like almost poncho looking, like.
Oh, I had one. Well, I had like a hoodie. It was comfy. I like it. But I didn't. It just was. I'll wear it one day. You'll see.
Well, no.
I don't know if it's a drug rug.
Not a hoodie.
It wasn't. Okay, so. Okay.
I think it's hard to explain.
Hate that, and then white people talking about their fucking chakras.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, bro. Yeah.
My chakras.
I took world religions in high school. I'm totally a Zen Buddhist.
But I punch you right in your fucking chakra.
No, dude. I love the idea of punching people in the throat.
And I've
gotten super behind that. Yeah. I am all
close
for
off
throat
your airway chakra.
I am all for throat punching. I endorse it on this show.
Oh, man.
Where were we? So, speaking the chakra master himself.
Hal doesn't want to be in the war because he's a coward.
He's a coward.
But basically, when he, I guess, gave some sort of oath to when he was in the, I guess they had a wizard school or some sort of magic school. And apparently he takes this oath very seriously.
He's afraid of women?
Is he afraid of women?
He's afraid of women. He's afraid of the Witch of the Waste, and he's also afraid of reporting because the person was attractive, and then he noticed they were less attractive when he got closer. Whether that means physically or in a sense of personality,
personality. After Hal left, she probably went crazy.
Maybe that was the breakup.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because he's such a coward, I wouldn't think he'd have any more than one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But, she basically sent, or he sends Sophie on a mission to go to the royal capital to talk to the king.
Representing Howl. As Howl's mother.
Yeah. To tell the king that Howl, basically literally to tell the king that her son is a coward and that he won't be participating in the war.
Yeah.
And Howl said that he'll follow her, fairly close behind, and he didn't tell her what he was going to be. But yeah, she's on
her way. I love their flag. The Sherbet Kingdom. Sorry. Sorbet Kingdom.
Sorbet.
I don't know what the difference is.
Sherbet. I think sherbet is like very specific flavors.
Oh,
like,
okay.
You can make sorbet out of stuff other than fruit, I think, can't you?
I have no idea. I just know that they serve sherbet and sorbet.
I think sherbet's specifically fruit, and I think sorbet you can make out of other things besides. Because you can have, like, a vanilla sorbet, I think. I don't know.
They both sound tasty, so.
I need to go to that Italian ice cream place.
Rita's?
No. The one by the Wine Bistro. Copa Gelato.
Oh.
I need to go to that place more often. It's really good.
Is it? It's a gelato shop.
It's an Italian gelato place right down the street from our house.
Is that the one that... I don't know.
Gelato's good.
Gelato's great.
Is it better for you than regular ice cream?
I like Italian ice number one. Then...
Italian ice is good.
Maybe...
It's not my number one, though.
I haven't had gelato in a while.
You gotta go try out Copa.
I'll try Copa.
But on her way back to the movie, Sophie actually runs into the Witch of the West.
Yeah, and this dog...
The Witch of the Waste. I keep saying West.
This dog that she thinks is Howl in disguise because Howl said that he would follow close behind.
Yeah.
And she's trying to figure out, is he a pigeon? Is he this random woman on a blimp?
She was like, is it the pigeon? He's like, no, he's too ostentatious for that. And then
when she notices the dog is following, she assumes that is Howl. And we get, she meets Witch of the Waste and she's like, break the fucking curse. And she's like, I put curses on people. I don't break them.
Yeah.
And as soon as they cross a point, the dudes just start
Because there's no transportation.
Yeah, puttering out of gas.
Yeah, they just kind of deflate.
It's really, I like it a lot.
Yeah, but yeah, it's like, sorry, ma'am, vehicles are prohibited upon this point. You must continue on foot. She, basically hates the, I don't know if it's a queen or something, or if that's like the king's mage, personal mage or something.
Yeah.
But there's a spell on the castle that doesn't allow, I guess, spells in general to go through or something, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, now she has to walk up, which really isn't a big stairway. It just, like, it looks big because it's very wide.
Yeah.
But she's fucking climbing up there, like, one grueling step at a time.
Yeah.
As her fat folds are getting moister and moister.
Oh, and this old lady has to pick up the dog and bring it up the stairs.
I'm imagining the, like, 12 rashes that she's gotten just by, like,
by fourth step. It is. This is a very,
yeah, she.
When
so,
people say,
funny.
I love the grand, like, circumstance and the stakes of Miyazaki films and the adventure. And then the scene is like 6 minutes long. This was not what I was expecting.
Oh,
right?
I know. Like, you think that the Witch of the Waste might just die from these stairs.
You haven't finished your paperwork. But she's trying to figure out where she gets all of the energy from.
Oh, I know. She's like, well, one, if she is starting to get a
she
little
She has
younger.
More neck folds, you noticed. She only had like one when she's you first meet her at the hat shop.
Well, the neck
she has,
folds
like, three
of like
or four.
The neck folds have like molded in with her like chest and breast folds.
Yeah. The breast folds are
she
upwards
is just
now.
Folds. She's Ben Fold, mom. Mrs. Folds.
Gwen Folds.
Gwen Fold. Gwendolyn Folds.
Oh, God. Oh,
just
she's
seeping
soaking.
Water.
Seepage. That is seepage right there.
God, I don't think a ShamWow could soak all that up. Like,
so many folds.
So many folds, bro. God, I wonder if she keeps anything in those
Do you remember when Homer puts the beer can on his stomach?
Yeah.
And the top of his stomach envelops it, and you hear it crush.
Oh, man. I just always think of when, Roger from American Dad's sitting on the bed, and he extends his belly out and puts an Oreo cookie on top of it and lets it ride down his belly into his mouth.
She's like a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Basically, now she's like, not
she's like cheering
together.
Her
she's
on.
Like,
she's like, don't give up. Come on. You got this.
And
you're a
she
witch,
gets up
you?
To the top and she is
I can't
just,
tell if she's being nice or condescending, but.
She's losing a lot of her youth as a result of this.
Yeah.
Like she's.
It's like her energy is being gone, so I don't know if she's using any spells to kind of keep her look more.
She's like a
youthful.
Pancake.
Yeah. She definitely uses magic to keep herself looking at least a little more youthful, and through all that, I guess, expenditure of energy, now she's like. Ugh, gross. Yeah. I mean, she was always gross, but now she looks more like, I don't
know. Queen of England.
Her folds look more saggy. They were like more fuller folds before. Like, I don't know if that makes sense.
No, yeah, the fat folds became old folds.
Yeah. She's like, oh my God, a chair, it's mine.
Yeah, and she starts running.
It just kind of, she looks like the poop emoji as an animated person.
She looks like, that PSA about smoking pot.
Yeah.
That's deflated on the couch. Yeah. She just kind of lays there.
I hate it when you smoke weed, Sophie. Oh, man.
This is the sickest microwave of all time.
I know. She, like, sits down in this chair and all these, like, giant light bulbs are behind these fucking.
I thought they were going to burn her to death.
Giant dancing black circles.
Yeah, they're these that weird people, which we see later on in the movie as like Starlight.
Yeah.
They're whimsical beings, and they all join hands in a circle and they start spinning around the Witch of the Waste in this room. And meanwhile, Madame Suleiman is acquainted with, quotes,
I don't know
Howell's
she's,
mother.
Yeah, I don't know if she's like the queen or if she is the, like,
she's not the prime minister.
No.
We know that. But I don't know. She is a person of importance in the royal empire of whatever sorbet country this
is. Yeah, I'm assuming she might have something to do with, like, the magic portion of it, considering they wanted to talk to Hal.
Yeah, maybe she's the official magic wizard negotiator.
Or witch of the
of
castle.
Of the Department
something.
Of Defense of the sorbet kingdom.
She has a staff, so she must be, like, the witch of the castle or something.
Maybe.
But yeah, she finds out that wasn't even Hal. That was just her dog.
Yeah. He's the errand dog and had the escort. So.
Yeah, the entire time she thought that the dog was Hal following her around, but no.
Nope, just her dog. The negotiation leads basically to, we have decided that we're not going to use magic to win this war.
Yeah, and I think it's because, well, I don't know, it depends. Oh, yeah, she hit the witch of the waste gets wheeled in. And she's literally like, I don't know if
back
was,
from Vietnam.
I don't know if it was possible for her to be folded more into herself than she already was. But
she's
now,
like a dying star. She collapses within herself.
Yeah, they used magic to
restore her back to her true age.
Yeah,
and height apparently.
Yeah, they. I guess basically because I don't know why she was using her. I guess she was using bad magic to keep herself alive.
Yeah,
because
she had been like she had been led in by a demon.
Yeah.
So like, if we can get Howl, like we can show him how to break his demon. He was the last apprentice I took in,
mm-hmm.
and you know, one bad apple later, and he's making all these very selfish decisions.
Basically, it's stripping them of their powers. I don't know if the demons that they have connected to them are what gives them their magic.
Yeah.
But Howl, I forget her name, the lady that she's having the conversation with right
Suleiman.
Now. Suleiman, yeah. But Suleiman is basically saying that they want to gather up the wizards. They want to disconnect them from their demons, which is basically, I guess, turning them into bad people.
Yeah.
And that will then strip them of their powers. But again, it will then also turn them, I guess, to the age that they've been this whole time. So I don't know how old Howl actually is, but.
Military dude walks in.
Yeah. Dude, here's loving that fucking mustache.
Yeah, and this is like the battle plan is like.
I've always wanted to know, because there are people in this world who have mustaches that are that full and thick.
Yeah.
How it feels to have that thing under your nose.
Probably great.
Yeah.
You probably have really softer, like a lot softer hair. Like I have kind of coarse facial hair.
Yeah.
But my regular hair is soft. If my regular hair matched my mustache hair, that would be, I would have that kind of mustache.
I've never been able, like when my beard was big, I loved just like playing with it throughout the day. But like I keep it trimmed and short now, but I've never been able to grow like a huge mustache. So I don't know. Everybody's got these huge, this dude's like fucking, what's the policewoman from, the policewoman. Is it Officer Jenny from Pokemon?
Yeah. Everyone's the same. Yeah. So he comes in and is like, we're not going to use magic.
Yeah.
And then that same dude comes in and says, I have a new battle plan. He shows her a paper for 2 seconds and says, we're going to beat him to a pulp.
And then leaves.
End of plan.
Yeah.
He laughs when he sees his own self and says, that's the best double you've ever made of me, Suleiman. Walks away. Then we realize that the first guy wasn't actually the real guy. It was Howl in disguise.
Yeah.
And then we have what we think
they
is...
They try to, like, keep them some... I don't know. She's trying to, like, stop them from going somewhere by, like, she transformed the room into, like, water.
Yeah.
And then that transformed into, like, the skyline of wherever. Like, they're floating now.
Yeah.
And it's like she's trying to attack them with us. I don't know what she's trying to do. It's magic, bro.
It's the same, like, sparks that, like, Howl used to get his powers later in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
This duel ends with Howl, like, basically about to transform into his true self, which if he does, he probably won't turn back into a human, which is the implication.
Yeah.
So, and they're doing the same dance that they did for the Witch of the Waste, which
trying to strip him of his powers.
Yeah, which I guess his power is the power that makes him human.
I don't know. I don't know if he's doing that. I think he's doing that to sort of fight back that he has the power. Because it seems like a lot of them have the power to transform into some sort of like animal creature thing.
Yeah.
The other guys were, I guess, able to when they were chasing after him. Although he definitely looks different than the others did. All the others look like the exact same creature, but that was probably just for, you know, drawing consistency.
Y'all gotta look like drones.
But let's get away on this flying contraption.
Yeah, which is cool. I mean, I'm sure Kamikaze with that thing is super useful.
You'll see.
She's granted a ring, very Titan AE.
Yeah, which said that it would protect her, which it didn't really do much of anything.
Well, it would lead her to Calcifer, which therefore leads her to safety protection, to the house. Yeah. And Howell uses a spell that grants her 5 minutes of invisibility, and they split off because he basically goes off to fight because he's kind of had some courage restored because she was there.
Yeah, he was basically like, I didn't have the courage to go and face her by myself. The Witch of the Waste is now just a daughter
completely
old.
Senile.
It really is all in the face, though. Like, she has lost sense of everything around her. I mean, they're in a complete, like, military chase right now, and this woman just doesn't even, can't even tell that she was 100%
USDA prime dementia.
Dude, she couldn't even tell if she was shitting her pants. I mean, this woman, oh, dude.
The nation start to realize, the Pendragon and Great Wizard Jenkins areas, that this...
I don't think that they've realized that they're the same person. I think that they've come to the conclusion that they're not fighting, so they have to, you know, go in and invade. Get them or something. But since the outside doors that are actually in the cities aren't actually connected to the inside of the castle, then they just break into, you know, nothing.
Nothing, yeah, because the dial isn't set to either or.
Yeah.
And I love this shot. The aerials
are
really, really pretty.
Beautiful sky shots.
Yeah. The waste. I always like lights, especially at night in cities. So I always dig this.
Yeah, she still calls it a dog, even though it's got chicken feet.
I mean, I guess it's there.
Maybe it was enchanted somehow. I mean, it was the dog of a witch.
Does the chicken feet, do you think they'd enhance the walking?
Who knows? Maybe she just thought it looked cute with chicken feet. It's a witch, bro.
Yeah, you're right.
But yeah, they're going back to the waste, which you come to realize that besides the fact that she teleported just because of that the capabilities of that door, she has never gone far in this whole movie.
Yeah.
The waste is still right outside of her town.
Showing up at the waste, yeah.
Yeah, Howell is always in the waste. The waste is always right outside of her town. The only time she ever really travels is when she just either finds the castle moves like a little bit away or she goes through one of the doors. But yeah, she literally just fucking crashes through the side building or the side of this house and is like, I'm home.
Yeah. And it's fine.
It's fine. It's everything's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. She looks like the ink things that she summoned.
Yeah, yeah.
With the nose and everything.
I want to know how old Howl is. I mean, he's been able to keep himself looking fine.
He's probably a couple hundred years old, I would assume.
Yeah, this is bad. You've gone too far, Howl. Yeah, he's like almost like fully transformed basically into this creature. Which I'm assuming is like the form of the demon that's possessing him.
I would assume so. Well, the demon is Calcifer.
I think Calcifer is just a demon that he has bonded to him. But she goes into like this like tunnel inside the house that she finds and basically finds a fully transformed Hal there.
Yeah, and this is, I guess, his demon form, his true form or whatever.
It's the spell form that his demon allows him to take. And I guess if he stays in that form long enough or transforms it into it enough times, then he won't be able to get out of it.
But as soon as, like...
Although it does seem like he still has consciousness.
Especially because, like, she transforms immediately from her young self to an old lady in, like, the span of him getting up and, like, flying away. And then when she wakes up in the morning, she's just immediately an old lady again. Like, there's no, like, slow recharge.
No, yeah. It's just... I mean, it is very instantaneous of, like, her just, like, she sits up and, like, whoa, bam, old.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's a time sort of thing. Like, I don't know. Maybe if she stayed up late enough, she'd be able to transform back into herself and be awake.
Mm.
But basically, Calcifer is like, you need to figure out a way to break the spell on us quickly because that's the only thing, or the only way that he can think of being able to transform Hal back.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you're right. I guess he is the one that's connected to Calcifer.
So, because that's the deal. Like, the deal was made when he swallowed Calcifer.
But what's the deal in this thing? Calcifer gets what?
I don't know. That's slavery? The thing is, we don't. It's really A lot, and I don't know how Miyazaki is with his films. I don't know if there's stuff that's supposed to be left to the imagination.
Yeah, it's very, very ambiguous.
So, but we're gonna pull the stupid rocket thing that we crashed into the castle out of the castle, and Turnip Head is gonna help us.
Oh, I know,
because
yeah.
He's still around.
Yeah, he just shows up whenever he shows up, bro. He always seems to be there.
This is horrifying.
Oh, I
know. You're literally, the rope is tied around you and the thing is coming after you and you will just drag it everywhere.
Absolutely
you go.
Absolutely fucking horrifying. This thing, they're trying to yank this, like, it's almost got like it flutters like hummingbird wings to make itself fly.
Yeah.
And she's like kicking it, trying to get it out of the house.
Nothing worse than
starts back up again.
Out of control machinery that moves really fast.
Oh, dude! Like you know that thing is gonna kill you if it touches you. Like
yeah, like just a little graze on your like hand rips all of the skin from your body from the tension.
Senile as fuck, Witch of the Waste, just like being fed oatmeal. She's just staring at Calcifer like, what a pretty fire.
And Howl's back, and Howl is basically, he maintains this look as a human for the rest of the movie. He looks, I've seen theater kids that look like him. But he's totally in a good mood, like at completely the opposite of the last time we saw him where he was in that
It's okay, so form. What's funny to me about Howl is, like, well, like we said, he is very, he went from... It's hard to explain. He's very self-centered with his looks. At first he was the Aryan form of beauty, but he was also the Japanese, like what the Japanese would think that the Aryans would want to be as a form of beauty. Because the Japanese, I feel like they think that like beautiful is more of an androgynous term, like very like dainty, like feminine features, regardless of whether or not you're a man or a woman.
Sure.
Like, I would say like very slender, very like well-kept in terms of like, you know, your hair, regardless. It doesn't even really matter whether or not you wear like makeup or anything like that. Like he has a very like slender, very like woman-like hands, I would say. Very like, I don't know. He has a very androgynous look. And now his hair is black, which is, you know, a Japanese thing.
Yeah, that is a Japanese thing. Because they know that Suleiman and the military will essentially be after them, they gotta move.
Yeah, basically, he's transforming the entire place into, I don't know, like a full house now?
It's like a completely different house. Moving doesn't seem to be very...
difficult?
Yeah, no, not at all.
But now they're actually, I don't know if they're still in the castle or if they've fully transported it into, like, a house in a city.
The castle still exists, but now the locations of the other three places, it seems, has changed.
Yeah.
Like, the only one that hasn't changed is, I think, the black one. Because it's pink, yellow, and green are the other colors now.
Yeah, you're right.
And I assume the black one is the one that transports you to where
And now they're actually living in Sophie's hometown.
Yes, they are in the wastes. He says, because our family seems to keep growing, I added a bathroom. Was there no bathroom before?
Does that mean that the senile fucking Witch of the Waste is now part of the family? Too accepting. Yeah. He basically... Oh, yeah, now she's starting
to
look...
And you can
see... She is starting to look like regular Sophie, but just with gray hair.
Yeah. Yeah, it's as soon as she walks into that room, like is a complete transformation. But now she's back
now
to
she's
old.
Back.
You know, it's so and the voice will occasionally change from a younger to an older
because the spell is slowly starting to break.
I never noticed her in the window.
I love how she just sits there, just watching.
The handsome man.
One is Sophie's hometown, and the other is a field. And I think it's honestly because. Howl is, they're falling in love.
A little bit, yeah.
Howl is trying to be more accommodating for Sophie because Sophie is, you know, he's starting to fall in love with her. So he's giving her areas that, he gave her her own bedroom.
Yeah.
He gave her one of the areas that they're living in is now her hometown. And the other area is basically just a beautiful field garden that you can go and relax in. And as they're falling in love, the spell on her is slowly breaking. Although it never says in the movie that was like a part of the spell.
Yeah, but it is.
And as she's wandering around the field, she is like kind of getting younger again.
Yeah, she looks younger again. And it's only in certain spots, and then she goes back to old voice, old face.
Yeah. I feel like
I need to know the reason for every single one of those moments. Like, why now?
The weirdest part is that she doesn't, the fact that she doesn't realize is the, not even like, is the weight gain. Because as soon as she's older, she's fatter. And you would think that you would know that, like, within 20 seconds, you've just lost and gained, like, 50 pounds.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Everything looks great because it's supposed to be, like, this serene environment.
Yeah.
For, like, as, like, a getaway. But we notice that there are battleships that are already kind of starting to trudge out in this area.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't be. They shouldn't be this far out. So he uses his powers because as one flies over, he notices hella bombs, and they can't just let them get away with all those bombs.
No, because they know that they're just going to cause more death and destruction. And he isn't on either side of the war, really. He's just very upset about the fact that the war is just going on in general and that people are dying.
Yeah.
So, but they dispense more magicians, basically, to go fight Hal. So Hal starts to
dispense more magicians.
No, that's what they do. I mean, they just like, yeah, fire them out right. Like an ass cannon.
You're right. Out of the battleship's prolapse.
Yeah. But he drops her, like, down through, like, or I guess into, like, the little house, which brings her back into the castle.
Mm-hmm.
While he's left fighting.
He goes and fights, and, and no one stops him.
No, no one stops
him. He's against the war, too, but he goes and fights as a neutral. I don't know what he's doing.
God, I can't stand looking at her face. Not her, not Sophie's face. The Witch of the Waste.
She
seems so friendly now. But
and
like,
she, yeah, and later. I think it's fair to say that throughout the course of her, with her powers removed, she becomes more human. She becomes less of just a complete senile old woman to, like, now she's actually having full conversations, and she's happy about, oh, those are the air raid sirens.
She's still a terrible person, though.
She's still pretty
She was
bad.
Literally saying that, like, oh, young men are so terrible to deal with, but their hearts are so, like, soft and cute to, like,
cougar.
Yeah, now they got, like, these magicians, which they were like, we're not going to win the world magic, proceeds to use a shit ton of magic. Like,
yeah. And I don't know what purpose.
What purpose is the creature to them turning into creatures? Why can't they just use their magic?
I don't know because the
they
the,
had
because the fact that they're reporting in an oath. I have a feeling that it's the monarchy or whatever that decides what form they take or how.
That's
they
so
fight.
Stupid. What is it? He was literally able to take down an entire one of those airships just by pulling out the plugs on the inside by using his magic. You think that he really needed to be a bird for that? Like,
on a normal day back in the wastes, Markle grabs Sophie's attention and says, there's this weird woman in our area, and it's Sophie's mother.
Yeah, and she recognizes her as Sophie.
Why?
Which is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's old. And she's, look at your face, you're so old. Everyone's saying it's my fault that you left, but you're so old.
I hope you'll forgive me, oh,
you're
Sophie.
You're so old.
Is this your wife?
Is this your wife? She's so old. Yeah, the mom got married again.
Yeah,
He's such a nice
women
man.
Who do not divorce.
Yeah, such a nice man. He's so wealthy and rich. Now we can all live together again.
Yeah.
She's like, that's all right, mom.
Thought the whole point of wealth was that you all live separately because you hate each other because you're rich.
And the mom is, for some reason, doesn't ask any questions about why she's old. Just is like, oh, you're so old. Yeah. That's cool. She just left something in the green. She just snatches it.
She leaves a bag. It's got smokes.
Oh,
that's right. I'm sorry.
Peeping bug. Can't Solomon do better than that?
But that was, she left that because the mother has betrayed Sophie on a part of Solomon because she knows.
She knows so much. So much useless information. Yeah, basically she just ratted out her daughter. Because I guess it seems that she doesn't really give a shit about her daughter.
No, she does, but she hates that maybe she got married to one of the members of the royalty.
Maybe, or she just hates
why
the fact
they're
that
so
Sophie
rich,
is connected.
And then she says, now take me to my husband.
Yeah, or she just hates the fact that Sophie is connected with somebody who isn't fighting for, like, I don't know if she's, like, a nationalist. Like, oh, he should be fighting for this country or something, whatever, but...
Nice touching moment between Sophie and Markle follows.
Sophie and Markle. Oh.
They're going to...
They're a family,
they're family
now,
they
they've only
leave.
Been together for, like, maybe 2 weeks tops.
Maybe. Probably, like, a week and a half.
Man, lady, you should not be smoking.
But now she's, like, a lot more full of life, you see?
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah. Killed
I don't
dog.
Know if it's because she slept for a while, or if she just kind of seemed, like, to pretend to be, like, useless so that they would let her stick around.
Maybe. Because she still wants Howell's heart.
Yeah, but I don't know if she knows that Calcifer is Hal's heart.
Not yet.
Yeah.
She says, that's so strange, I can't get Calcifer going. That's a sex thing.
Don't deny an old witch her pleasures, young lady.
It's fucking hookah bar.
I've never once seen her. Oh, God. I
yeah,
that
I love
always
that.
Happens with fat
she
people.
She's entirely, her head is just a soft spot.
I know. That always happens with fat people that smoke in animations, is that, like, as soon as they exhale, like, it's like their whole body exhales. So, like.
Yeah, they are one giant lung.
But all of a sudden, boom, crash, bam, flash, the bombs drop.
They're bombing the wastes. Which wasn't...
I don't think this is the waste. I think the waste is the area outside
of
the town.
This is... Well...
They said that she's going to the waste.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the area outside of the wastes. The direct town that she is from.
Yeah, I don't think
it's
what
I'm referring
to.
Is
the name of the town.
Yeah. We get Young Face again. Actually, we really kind of get Young Face for the rest of this film.
Yeah, and we run into the creatures that they run into the creatures that the Witch or the Waste used to use.
Yeah.
And they're now trying to attack Sophie.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if this means that they stole the Witch of the Waste powers so that they could use them against the other nation.
Maybe.
Or something like that. I don't know.
Suleiman has them.
Yeah, I've never seen any other person using those little creature things besides her.
Howell rides a bomb
directly
to
Sophie.
Like Dr. Strangelove with the cowboy hat.
I brought you a present. He rides the bomb directly into Sophie. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? She gets
my love for you is explosive.
I know. She gets blown back against the wall, and it's like he, like, used his body.
He's, like, stopped.
Or I guess stopped it from blowing up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he still could have almost killed her, though. I don't know why he couldn't have just redirected that fucking thing.
Yeah.
But no, let me ride this right into the middle of where she's fucking standing.
But the Ink Boys are...
Inky Boys! Inky Boys. They never seem to, it annoys me that they never seem to, like,
be intimidating,
mold together perfectly.
No. Yeah.
They just seem to actually, like, oh, yeah, so he must have some sort of spell on his house or something, because they walk into his house and then all of a sudden all those black inky boys that come through get sucked back out.
Yeah. And he just immediately revives Calcifer and,
God, her whole body goes up, like, and then sinks back down as she's exhaling the smoke from the cigar.
Yeah, and Howell's no longer much of a coward anymore, and she's talking to the Witch of the Waste, and she says, I think we should have a nice heart-to-heart soon.
Yeah.
I think you need to think a little bit more about how she said that.
A little heart-to-heart, she wants your heart, boy.
Yeah.
I'd never is too clear on, like, what kind of, like... Hal seems like the most magician-ass magician. You know what I mean? Like, all the other ones are either just bird creatures, or, like, all she did really was, like, control those little inky boys. Mm-hmm. Other than that, like, he's the only one that's been, like, fucking controlling people, like, turning into this giant, like, half-bird thing to fly around, like, using magic to, like, step float around the city. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
He's the only one that's been doing some real fucking-ass magic, bro. Like...
So,
yeah, he leaves her there, and now there's more Inky Boys. She now is, like, in a constant state of switching back and forth between her being regular Sophie and the older version. Well, not full older version, but, like, regular Sophie, but with more wrinkles.
Mm-hmm. This is another, creepy side shot of bird with human head.
Yeah, he's even more bird than
before. He feels more bird. What a horrifying premise for, like... That just sucks, man.
I know.
IRS.
Yeah, why won't she just change the door?
Well, she does. But she doesn't like doing it because Howell's there.
Yeah, but you know what I don't understand? I don't understand how, okay, in the beginning of the movie, when someone from one of the other cities was knocking on the door, they could hear it even if that door wasn't turned to that city.
Yeah, maybe.
It was weird because someone was knocking on the door and the kid said, "Stand by."
Yeah, yeah.
And opened it.
Well, you can hear from inside the house, probably not from the outside of the house. From the distance, she's back up at the castle, which is in the wastes, and this battleship's carpet bombing, and Howell is fighting on this battleship. He is in a tremendously giant form. Like, that's him.
Yeah, he is in a beast-ass form.
He looks like the monster from Attack the Block.
Yeah.
And then the battleship goes down, Howell's fate unknown, and
he looks like, okay, so if he looks like if Pokemon had a devil.
Yeah. If Arceus had a Satan.
Yeah. That would be their Satan.
That'd be their Satan. Not Darkrai.
Catch that thing and force it to fucking work for me.
Go the devil.
Go devil.
Go Beelzebub. Now she's senile again. Yeah. So now they're going to move the castle.
Yeah, they're
because
moving
Because when
the castle.
They move the castle, it prevents Howell from having to be involved.
Yeah, because when they find out where Howell is, then they can just attack him, and then he has to go back into the war because they know where he is. And
yeah.
It's no point in really running away.
Yeah.
So
Calcifer's worried about doing it because Howell has never... They haven't done it without Howell, and he's worried that if they go outside, then the whole castle will collapse. And when they move outside, the castle collapses. And it's raining, which is going to put him out.
I know. The worst decision they could have made. This whole thing just crumples to the ground.
It's just not very beneficial for them. They go and try and find a way back into the house. And what ends up happening... And Turnipet's back, by the way.
Yeah.
Who just picks up the Witch of the
and just bounces there, like,
yeah.
Officer.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand how it fucking, like, connects to her in any sort of way.
No.
But,
idea.
Yeah, it picks her up and just fucking...
So they put him back in the fireplace, start putting all this wood up, and they gotta find a way to get there with the smallest bit of assistance. So apparently the only way that he can do it is if he takes, I don't know, like the eyes or heart
of something.
Yeah, eyes or heart are best, but instead we'll just rip off the ponytail, which I guess gets him strong. That might be a sexual thing, too. We don't know.
He's really wanted her ponytail.
But now he's, like, buff and shit, and he lifts the house, and it's just a little tiny, basically, like, sphere of the house and
yeah,
the four legs.
Yeah, it's not the house, like, full-powered.
No, it's, like, the front of the house.
Yeah. Because he only had enough power to basically animate from her hair.
Yeah, yeah. And, he looks full demonic. This is the... They're like, this is the fire demon. And then she realizes, the Witch of the Waste realizes this, the Calcifer has Howell's heart.
Yeah.
That's that weird looking,
that's
pancreas looking. Yeah,
she's
the little,
been hanging around this whole time.
Yeah. And her greed gets the best of everybody else. She's like, I have Howell's heart, which puts Calcifer basically out because he's moving him out of the fireplace. And the entire vehicle...
Because I don't know what she's trying to do with it. If she's trying to, like, suck it up or something like that.
I think she just wants it. I think it's just as simple as that.
Well, it also has magic.
She won't give it back because it's her. She says it's mine.
She likes to play with young men's hearts.
Yeah. And she puts out Calcifer. She puts out the heart because it's the only way to stop the madness.
Well, she could just let her burn to death. It's whatever.
Yeah, that's true. The house now splits into the working part.
Yeah, it's got two legs running, which are literally running by themselves because Calcifer's out for the count.
Yeah, Calcifer, Turniphead, and Markle and the Witch of the Waste go on one side. The side that plummets off of a cliff.
Just fucking runs off the side of a goddamn mountain.
Has Sophie and Heen.
And somehow everybody survives.
I mean, all two of them.
Well, wasn't Markle there?
No, Markle's on the other one with the rest of the cast. It's just Heen and Sophie.
Oh, gotcha.
Heen, the dog, realizing that she has her hands buried in her face and she's crying, the ring is still on her.
The ring
is pointing towards something behind some rubble, which is, it's the front door. And
yeah, and you can she can still use the front door to get
transport wherever. We don't know because I don't remember what was the last location that was set. We don't know.
It's magic. Is it the black one?
It could be the black one. It could also just be empty.
It's time to go into the seventh layer of Toast Crunch Hell.
Bleeding
that
roof of mouth land.
Dip.
Searing gas demons. Pain land.
And she basically comes upon like Hal's little sanctuary, I guess.
It's his child. We're basically kind of in his inner thoughts. Not really. We're in his childhood. It's a flashback, really.
We're in hell.
Howl's hell is his childhood. They go out, and this is the kind of that other location that we had seen earlier that he had transported himself and Sophie to, where it's like the kind of like serene land for her.
It's basically going into the past. She's basically seeing a representation of when Hal gets his powers. It seems like there were these crashes of starlight.
And these starlight they have the weird forms of the things that took the Witch of the Waste powers away. Like kind of like sparks or weird stuff. It's weird. It's just magic. I assume it's just magic.
Well, one of them is Calcifer, I think. I think that Calcifer lands into his hands and then he swallows Calcifer, giving Calcifer his heart.
As this happens, she plummets into
nothingness.
Nothingness. But she manages to get their attention. She can do that. She says, "Howl, Calcifer, I know where you live. I know how to help you. Find me in the future."
So what did she actually go back into the past? This wasn't some sort of dream state?
So here's where it makes sense to me now. So obviously, they got to live the rest of their life. He's just a kid.
Yeah, she just went back to the
So the next time we see him in the sequential timeline is when she's being like kind of chastised by those two guards. And he goes, "There you are, sweetie. I've been looking for you."
Yeah. But
then all of this has to happen. But then you get the logic loop. Like, okay, so then does this just repeat because he goes to fight in the war or whatever?
Maybe.
But I don't know.
I don't think that he knew her necessarily at the beginning. Because if it is,
but he says, "That's my girl," and all that. Like, he had known her because it's hard. It's so hard.
Maybe. But then that takes away the whole, that takes away the whole of like him having to like slowly fall in love with her to like break the spell or whatever, you know.
She returns back to the rubble.
And she finds him.
He's still got his face. He's a little beaten up, but he's the big feathery demon.
Yeah, he's big old bird boy.
And she kisses him. She kisses like every single member of the cast from now on.
Yeah.
Like Calcifer, Witch of the Waste.
Does she kiss Calcifer? You can't really kiss Calcifer.
She does.
Yeah. Running on two legs. This thing's a little bit of magic.
The little bit of magic that's left is one platform with two legs. Markle and the Witch of the Waste are just kind of hunched over with Calcifer. And Turnipet is just leading the charge, it seems.
Yeah, dude, Turnipet could do anything.
Howl and Heen and Sophie return. And he had one leg. You notice that? He lost a leg.
Did he lose
his bird form or whatever?
Yeah, or something like that. Or he's just flying weird.
Like a flamingo.
Like a flamingo or like how an owl looks like it's on one leg.
Yeah.
She's like, "No, it's my heart."
Sophie asked for the heart back.
Yeah. From which of the waste is still hanging on to Hal's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And she hugs the Witch of the Waste and goes, "Please give it back."
Which apparently is enough.
And the Witch of the Waste is like, "You really want it that badly?" And then she throws it off the edge of the cliff.
No, she actually just gives it back to her. That was persuasion 100. She says to she asks Calcifer what will happen to him if he gives back Howl his heart. She says, "I'll be okay, I think. You dump water on me, but we both survived." So she puts the heart back into Howl, and Calcifer is freed.
Calcifer is freed, but also I think it's
and he's back to that like sparkly stardust that we saw earlier.
Yeah, I think it's implied now that Howl does no longer have powers.
Yes,
because now the platform is falling down completely.
Yes.
Oh no! it's literally going down. I mean, this is a ride of a lifetime. I mean, we're going down the side of a hill right now.
Yeah.
And this motherfucker, oh man, dude, Turniphead is sacrificing his life right now.
Yep.
We are watching a man sacrifice his legs, most likely his wood dick. I mean, his whole body, I guess, was just one wood dick. He just gave up the only dick he had.
Dick.
That man is a fucking hero.
Sophie says, "You saved us, Turnip. You did it."
And she kissed the turnip, and bam, he was a fucking man this whole time.
Look like a Dr. Seuss character. He's the prince of the neighboring kingdom, which I think is the one they're at war with. And which of the ways is familiar with the spell? The kiss from the true love breaks it.
Yeah, and for some reason he fell in love with Sophie, which he was a handsome-ass prince as a fucking scarecrow that fell in love with a 90-year-old woman who randomly pulled him out of a bush that was walking by herself in the waste.
Yeah. Hal wakes up, says, "I feel a terrible pain in my chest." Sophie says, "A heart's a heavy burden," which I guess is the quote from this movie that people take away from it.
Yeah.
But then Witch of the Way says, "Looks like your true love is with someone else. You should go away," I guess.
Yeah, and they're basically like, "You should go and tell your king to stop this war." And he's just like, "I'm going to do exactly that. So as soon as I get back, I'm going to stop this war." Mm-hmm. Like, that's something that he could just do with the snap of his fingers, being the prince, like, walk back and be like, Daddy, I don't want to be in war anymore. Yeah. Daddy, we should stop this war.
So he goes to basically call off the war, and Heen betrays Solomon. Is like, "Yeah, we were here the whole time." And she goes, "Oh, I guess Howell's got his powers
back."
Well,
Heen is her worker.
Yeah. But she says, "Oh, it looks like Howell's, so time to call off the war." And that's where it didn't make sense to me. Like, he was the reason.
Well, okay, I think part of the
thing... Use war
to
draw him in.
I think part of the thing where the magicians were starting to turn evil because of the demons that were inside of them, that were connected to them, or at least starting to, like, come to their, like, desires.
Yeah.
And now that the demon is out of Howl, and he no longer has his magic, then it's time to end the war. They were just trying... Basically, it just seems like they were having this whole war over basically trying to suck out all the magic of all the magicians.
Maybe.
But now she's got her white hair, which actually looks better.
It does. And they're hanging out on the the castle can fly now.
Which I don't Howl's flying castle. Does he still have magic? I don't understand.
Calcifer still hangs out with them because he missed them. He does. He's like, "Oh, you know what?"
But I guess he doesn't. Yeah.
I'll return to slavery.
Yeah,
I guess. But he's not connected to Howl anymore.
Yeah.
So they're all free. Everyone is free. Howl's Moving Castle is over. Do 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 do. Namida no oku ni yuragu hohoemi wa toki no hajime kara no sekai no yakusoku.
Dude, Josh Hutcherson was so young in this movie.
Who did he play in?
He was in...
What was he in that I know?
Josh Hutcherson was called that Disney movie, something Zathura.
Zathura?
Is it just called Zathura?
Zathura.
Okay, yeah, then Zathura.
The one where it's Jumanji but space?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays the older brother.
Oh.
And he's also in that new guy, new character, something else. That
new girl?
Hulu TV show that Seth Rogen does. Some video game guy, whatever. I don't remember.
No idea. That was a good movie.
That was a good movie. It's a very, very beautiful, beautiful movie. Beautiful shot. Beautifully shot, beautifully drawn, beautiful score.
Everything is beautiful.
The movie or the plot line is a little all over the place, but it's whatever. The rest of the stuff honestly makes up for it.
I think so. I would say so. So that is the end of Howl's.
And I've never read the book, so I don't know how much they're actually trying to fit into like the movie based off the story.
I have no idea. Moving forward, our next episode is on The Wind Rises, which is the latest Miyazaki film.
Yes.
Came out in 2013.
Then after that, we'll be doing Spirited Away, and that will conclude our month of Miyazaki, moving into the next month, which we will let you guys know what our theme is going to be for that later on in this month.
Yep. It'll be it'll come out on... what day of the week? Can't remember days.
All right. Well, while he's doing that, guys,
24th, January 24th.
January 24th.
Is when we will post our new month.
Yes.
Episodes will come out. I will figure it out. Expect Wind Rise. You're hearing this whenever it is out. Expect this on the episode on The Wind Rises on the Saturday of this week, which is the 25th. And follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Mangled Movie Pod, because you will see those posts about the new month there on the 24th. You won't hear about it until the Spirited Away episode, which will probably be on the last day of January.
With all that being said, guys, please, please, please rate and review us on iTunes. That would help us out a lot. Or, you know, if you don't listen to us through iTunes, tag us on social media, anywhere that you want, Twitter, Instagram. We are on both of those at Mangle Movie Pads or Pods, so you can just tag us or hashtag, you know, Mangle Movie Pod.
Mangle Maxi Pad. Ew.
But yeah, dude, we just want to get you, you know, you and your friends listening. If you enjoy the podcast, you know, share it with your friends. Let them know. But thank you guys so much for listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, this has been another episode of Mango Movie Pod, and we thank you guys.
Mango Movie Madness.
Mango Movie, whatever, same thing. It's still the Mango Movie Podcast.
Yeah.
Mango Movie Madness Podcast.
All four of them.
Yeah. Hey, gone.
Nope. No personals.
I mean, we can, yeah. It's at Ryan T. Larrabee at Twitter and Instagram.
TPENUCH.
That's T. Panucci.
Twitter and Insta.
Twitter and Insta. Guys, check it out.
Send in your notes, MMPodcast@outlook.com.
Hoo-hee-ha. Bye.
Have you seen Speed Racer?
Yeah.
He's going over that cliff.
We are so glad you came. Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye now. Bye. Bye-bye. Remember, please discard all candy wrappers and popcorn containers in the nearest trash receptacle. Thank you. Okay, bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Bye. Okay. Are they all gone? Is everybody gone? Huh? Good. Oh my gosh, my cheeks are killing me. I can't keep smiling like this anymore. I am exhausted. I think I need a break. A little break? Okay.